All right, it's Joel Radio. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. With Joel Fragamenti, your host.
I'm Corey Hall.
And there's
here.
Corey Hall, your other host or your other whatever personality.
Yes, sir.
And we're here for you again. Welcome back. Go ahead, take over. You go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's a wonderful day to be alive. It's a beautiful day in the United States of America.
Is it? It's kind of rainy, cold, and shitty in Detroit today.
Well, it's not rainy. It's just kind of...
It got wet.
It is damp.
And then it got sunny, but it's cold all the time, all the while.
Yeah, that sounds like girls. sounds like what I, you know.
They're cold and wet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, I used to be able to get girls wet. Now I can only hope for damp. That's really the most I can hope for.
Oh, so sad.
No, whatever. I'm domesticated. I'm a broken animal. I'm just, just like that. You know, I'm like that horse at the petting zoo that's given too many rides. just nothing left in the tank.
That's too bad.
Just doing a sad, lonely lap around a dark and desiccated little field.
You're the whale whose dorsal fin has folded over from swimming in one direction for too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Sometimes those animals act out and kill people.
Coming anytime.
It could be happening. Soon.
Like that farm in Ohio?
Oh, my God. How great was that story?
I know it's old news by now, but that was
Zanesville, Ohio.
It was the best story ever.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Now, isn't there a gig in Zanesville, Ohio?
I've been through Zanesville or very near to Zanesville. But Ohio is this weird place where they don't have those animal laws. The thing I talked about on the show a few weeks ago, when I went to Sandusky for Cedar Point, and we stopped at some animal safari, and I fed a buffalo and giraffes and shit like that. Like, this place was like, if somebody didn't throw the master lock... There'd be giraffes and buffaloes running around Sandusky.
Right.
Like, it wasn't much security to this place.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, you know, it was just off the road, and you pull in, and there's a fence, and you go in, and...
Look, it's Ohio. Yeah. Life is cheap down there.
Yeah, it was like, they're just kind of... They're very cavalier about that. I don't know if it's because...
Well, and I know they changed governors, and I think the new governor was like, we don't care about, you know, enforcing these laws.
Yeah.
And so this guy in about, I don't know, 50 miles away from... 40 miles away from Columbus... had a, what do you have, like a barn zoo kind of thing?
He had 18 Bengal tigers in addition to a bunch of other stuff. So.
Yeah, he had like a private zoo, and he had like snakes.
Yeah.
And he had lions and bears.
He liked, apparently, and I think he had horses and stuff too, but apparently he liked the dangerous animals.
Well, yeah.
Which shows you, you know, a little bit of the nuttiness of the guy.
Apparently,
you know?
Right.
And no one was stopping him from having horses.
And then, so apparently he was in financial trouble. Mm-hmm. He was...
he owed money on his property. There was a tax lien against it or something. Yeah.
And I think that the laws were in the process of being changed or something, and that he was going to get screwed with the zoo.
If they do that, I think they have to grandfather people in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to come to people's houses and just take their animals from them.
Well, I guess he was in danger of losing the
whole property,
losing the animals
for the money. Yeah.
So he decided he did the logical thing.
The logical.
Which was, this is, did you read, there's so many weird things about this story.
Yeah.
He got a pile of chicken carcasses and left them and like basically invited the animals to come eat him. Did you hear that?
Well, listen. What he did was completely the same exact logic of a man who decides, I need 18 Bengal tigers and a bunch of bears.
Right.
You know, it's the same dumb logic that you get all those animals, which is the way he decided to go out, was unlocking them from their...
But the guy had, like, a tiger took a chunk out of his head.
Was he intending for the animal? But he shot himself, too, right?
I think he shot himself, but, you know, he could have just waited. I'm sure the tiger would have done the job.
But was he trying to have these animals... What was he trying to do? Have the animals kill him? Was he having to try to make these animals escape so they wouldn't be captured and killed? Was he trying to make it so these animals would kill other people?
Because they're going
to
go into the,
I don't know.
They're going to go into the natural environment of Ohio farm country, which is, as we all know.
Well, that's what's weird. It's like
where lions belong.
I kind of get that. Like, you're worried that, you know, somebody may take your animals and kill them, and you're worried about their welfare. But what he did actually ended up getting all the animals killed.
Right.
You know? I mean, wasn't a lion ate a monkey?
Yes.
That is, I mean, how crazy is that?
They found a monkey in one of the lion's stomachs.
That is some fucked up Disney shit there.
A bear and like three leopards and a monkey survived.
Yeah, and they took him to the zoo, the Columbus Zoo, and they're going to live there.
They didn't get very far. Fortunately,
but you know what? Animals, I think, that live in cages, I don't know how free they want to be. I think their cages are sort of their home, and they want to go there. I mean, they say that about horses and stuff that they don't want.
I'll tell you how free I want a tiger to be.
Yeah, how free?
Not at all.
Yeah, well, that's
five feet is too free.
I agree. I think anyone. I don't think people should have snakes.
Yeah,
snakes eat babies. You know, stuff like that happens.
Anything north of a ferret, I'm out.
I agree with you.
A ferret is kind of a nasty little
bastard. You want a dog, you want a cat, that's okay.
Sure.
You can have a bird if you want, but you're crazy if you own a bird.
Didn't these fuckers know, don't they remember the story of Planet of the Apes?
Exactly.
In the original Planet of the Apes, a comet came and like killed all the cats and dogs because it was well written. and so people domesticated domesticated apes as pets, and then they became... Roddy McDowell in a leather outfit. Did.
And of course, Rise of the Planet of the Apes is another origin story for him.
Sure. They rebooted that.
Less maybe more or less plausible.
Vaguely more plausible?
Vaguely only in no one's buying that comet bullshit that they would.
That was the 70s. No one cared. They can get away with it.
Oh, in that case, people were afraid of comets and stuff then.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, this guy went nuts, and he did a crazy thing, regardless of what the intention was. There was no good intention.
Well, there was nothing good you could do. There might have been a good intention. There was going to be no good result.
Right.
Because you're letting a bunch of wild tigers loose in Ohio.
If you want to kill yourself, just kill yourself. Don't fuck a bunch of other people's shit up.
Yeah.
And you didn't fuck your animals
He could have killed dozens of people.
Yeah, he could have.
He got dozens of animals killed.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking schnook.
Well.
Hey. Assholes of the year.
That guy.
Write that guy's name down.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that in a couple months, and I tell you, I've been making my list.
My list is being worked on. He's hot
in fact, charts. In fact, let me just, if you don't mind, I'm going to go over here and just click on my Word document and see if I have it. Because how could I not have that ass, him as...
What was the guy's name? I don't even remember.
Yeah, well, you know...
Look him up. Put him on.
We did a pre-show rundown. You know what? I didn't put this guy down.
Well, good. He's on.
It's
how can he not be on the list? Come on,
because I guess I forgot to add it to the list. But
what a dope!
Right now.
I know Regis is number one. I understand that.
I don't know. Regis is leaving in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, boy, I got some good guys on the list here.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Oh boy, we don't want to spoil that.
Yeah, Assholes of the Year is coming up. It's our big annual. It's our black tie event.
Can Oprah win 2 years in a row?
But Oprah left the air. I mean, we talked about this early. Yeah. Andy Rooney left and Larry King left.
Yeah.
And Regis is leaving. Oprah left.
You know, we do bar trivia, and they had a category that was a bonus round where it was like they named all of the spouses, and you had to name the person.
It
was like Michael Todd, Larry Fortensky, Richard Burton.
Okay.
And you'd say...
Liz Taylor. Yeah.
Right. Well, they had Larry King's wives on there, and I couldn't remember. I just had cleared Larry King out of
Shawn
my mind.
Shawn Southwick is the latest one.
Yeah, I knew. I saw her name,
That's the only one I know by name, because she was barely famous
That was one of the names, and I went, fuck, who is that?
Yeah.
That was the only one I couldn't remember, because Larry King means so little to me. So nothing to me, that old coot.
He is. He's a real hump, yeah.
Yeah, dust. You're nothing but powder to me. Well, I'm going to go on a stand-up comedy tour, and you won't get rid of me this time soon.
I've not heard any Larry... Howard Stern wasn't all over the Larry King comedy tour?
Boca Raton, hello.
You'd think he'd have a guy there recording it or something, but no, none of that.
I think Larry's done. I think Larry's sitting around watching his kids' softball games.
Like Larry did his run of Florida retirement homes, and that's it?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Well, because I'd love to. I mean, I'm not saying, like, if Larry came to Detroit, I'm buying a ticket. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's, you know, whenever guys try to do stand up who aren't comics, I've said that before.
It's brutal.
That's my favorite thing in the world is people who aren't comedians.
That really?
Attempting to do comedy. It makes me laugh.
My least favorite thing.
No, I mean, I enjoy it in a train wreck, you know, atmosphere.
No, it's painful for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at that.
So I would go.
I don't want to look at guys who already pretend to do comedy a lot of the time.
There's that, too. But, I mean, you know, Charlie Sheen, you know.
Yeah,
legendarily tried it and failed. And
I now, in retrospect, kind of wish I'd gone to that. At the time, I was no fucking way. I felt bad
when it. Remember, I think I tried to get tickets, and it was such a hot thing that it sold out immediately.
Yeah.
But then they said, "Well, they actually didn't put all the tickets on sale, so as to make it look like it sold out. They kind of cooked the books, and then they ended up comping a bunch of radio people." Sure. And shit. But, you know, after I got to work with Charlie and kind of saw the... And I was like... I think people were over it at that point anyway.
Right.
So when I met Charlie and did my thing with him, I was like, yeah, I don't need... You know.
They were over him
in general. It's about over, yeah. So, anyway. Want to get into TV stuff? Because, you know, we've got our big fall TV prediction scorecard going on now. And
all right, let's update it.
It's been a few weeks since we updated it. All right. I think the last time you spoke to us, Playboy Club was canceled.
Meh.
It ran for 3 episodes. Matt McClowry predicted 4. You predicted 6. I predicted 8. So Matt puts Matt in the lead.
I can't believe I predicted 6. That thing looked like a shit show.
Free agents might have. I think they were canceled at about the same time. So I'm not sure who wins.
I think they did 3 episodes.
Who wins the first show to get canceled competition? But they ran for 3. Matt predicted 6. You predicted 6. I predicted 8. A Hater, which was one of our favorite dumb
shows.
Boy,
why did I go 6 on these shows? Stupid.
Well, Matt went, here's the thing. When you predict low and it's only a few weeks into the season, you're going to have this hot winning streak. And Matt McClowry predicted very low. Like for Hater, he went 3, you went 6, I went 4, and it ran 4. So you actually did the worst on that.
Wow, I picked 6
Hater,
on all those?
All those CW turds?
What could I have possibly picked lower than those shows?
Well, you predicted 6 for Man Up, which just hit the airwaves, so that one is still up in the air. You know, you picked 4 for Revenge, which I think got a full season order.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlie... Okay, the other thing is How to Be a Gentleman on CBS was canceled. It only aired 3 episodes. And that it's funny because it ran for 2 on its regular Thursday spot. Then they moved it to Saturday and said, well, it'll run out its string on Saturday. It ran for 1 Saturday,
and then they
canceled that. So it actually only ran 3 times, and we had all predicted 13 episodes and renewals for that.
Wow.
So we really screwed up on that one. And then everything else is still on. I mean, okay, the other one is that Charlie's Angels has been canceled.
I called cancel on that, right?
You said 3 for that. You predicted low. The problem with that is it was canceled after 3 or 4. But they're still running it, so we don't actually ultimately know what the number is going to be on that. It's one of those things that they're just going to let them run.
So wait. We were betting on how many would run,
would
not
actually,
how many would cancel?
Would actually make the airwaves, yes.
Christ.
So based on that, you're not getting points on that. So really, you know, at this point, anyone who went low, like Matt McClowry went 6 on Whitney, you know, they might have. It's probably run 5 already, and it got a pickup.
I think Whitney got repeated.
You know, so Suburgatory looks like a hit.
Yeah.
Whereas you and Matt predicted it was gone, and I said it would at least run the whole season, you know. So ultimately, I think I'm going to win, but it's not a guarantee at this point. Grimm, which hasn't even hit the airwaves yet, I said 5, you said 6, Matt said 7.
Yeah.
And Once Upon a Time, they just went on, I said 6, you said 6, Matt said 8.
Well.
So there's still a lot to be decided. Like I said, this isn't really ultimately going to be decided until the spring.
Terra Nova is going to get a full 13, but probably won't.
But
come back.
May not come back, and that's what we all said about it. We all said 13 and no renewals. So.
Well, I feel like a real dope because I should have picked low on some of those.
But actually, I don't know that you should have picked low because that you picked low, you actually hit. You hit Playboy Club.
Yeah.
You hit free. I mean, but you hit it with 6 instead of 4.
I'm saying I should have picked lower on.
Well.
Hater was evidently the worst program ever on television. I mean, that looked like it would look like it looked so bad. And it, speaking of assholes of the year,
Mario
from
Lopez.
The mind of Mario.
Yeah,
Lopez.
that was the name of the show. Even
and,
it was so
and
bad.
Then did you see any of it?
I never saw it. No.
All right, I watched the first one.
Yeah,
as much as I could stomach.
Who was the celebrity?
Were two celebrities. It was Snooki.
Okay.
And the guy really could care less at the end. Like, first of all, it was horribly staged.
Yeah.
This guy's like playing pool with his friends.
And Snooki suddenly
Snooki
shows
walks
up.
And goes, why are you saying things about me that I'm a skanky little gutter slut? And he went, what? Like, mm-hmm. it was so, you know.
I wonder why those television cameras were following me today. Right.
Why were people shooting me playing pool? See, I'm a fat nobody.
What an amazing day. Not only do television cameras show up to follow you, and then Snooki shows up. What are the odds?
Right. This always cracks me up when they do these reality shows where, like, people are, like, fooled into something.
Yeah.
Well, they're always like, we told them that we were shooting a documentary about.
Well, it's like that in the home projects, too.
Right.
Like, you always see the guy ring the doorbell.
Yeah.
Like, they've never met the homeowner before.
And they didn't see the camera crew unloading
right,
on the front.
And then, like, they'll have the reverse shot from inside the house as the guy is coming up to the door. Like, what is that? What is that all
right.
about?
I think it's hard to surprise people.
It is. But, you know, I mean, the reason they don't do it that way is because they want the person not to go, could you get, what the fuck is this? Get the fuck out of my house.
Okay, like Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
Is there any chance the producers don't screen the people that come through there first?
No, they're screened. I think, I mean, like I said, I was on Hardcore Pawn or
which
almost
is one
on
of the
Hardcore
most
Pawn.
Garbage shows.
It is garbage
time.
Shows. But there was no, I mean, yeah, I was screened and I went through producers and I took photos and signed releases and shit. But I never met the Pawn guy. So I think that element is legit. I mean, I think there is that
I mean,
thing.
The interaction between you and the Pawn dealer is fresh.
I think is fresh and I think that's right. live. The only thing they may do if they have an item, I think there's a chance that they may give them a little heads up so they can research the value of it. Because how is Rick really I mean, Rick probably knows what shit is worth, but maybe not everything. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Well, which is, you know, we've talked about this before, yeah. but on Pawn Stars, he usually goes through the process of having somebody come in and tell
him. I got a buddy who's an expert on these things.
Right. And there's like 45 guys that come in. Everything, you know, they're experts on stamps. There's experts
right.
on, you know, toy trains.
There's
experts on everything.
I wanted to cut a reel of just every time the guy from the Clark County Museum has to say who he is.
Oh, I love that guy.
I'm from the Clark County Museum. I am an expert.
And he comes in with his stupid hats.
And he's on every show.
Yeah.
And it's like, we know who you are. Right. Put it at the bottom of the screen.
Does that guy really have to dress, period? He dresses like Grizzly Adams, you know?
He
like,
keeps his clothes at
right.
the Clark County Museum. Yeah.
He like that's what it is. Yeah. He goes in
right.
the lumberjack exhibit.
I mean,
he comes out wearing those clothes.
I think it's entirely possible that those guys are on set for like a day.
And they shoot three or four segments.
They bring in those
guys.
You
know what's great is that Rick never has to change his shirt because he's always wearing that same stupid black polo shirt, right? So they don't have to change their outfits.
His hair is always the same.
Yeah,
it's not really much.
Right
to do.
Now, the guy, the other, like the you know, antique firearms expert guy,
Sean.
He might have to change shirts.
I don't know.
You know,
he's always wearing. By the way, if you look carefully, he's wearing a Pirates of the Caribbean crew T-shirt.
Right.
In every episode, like he owns no other shirt. I don't know what he's trying.
Oh well, that's because they shot. All
maybe they did, but
the
they're even different shirts. They're different colors.
Oh, really?
But they all have this logo that he and it's like, is it that you were
the
like,
Clark County Museum? Then there's the signature expert.
Yeah, there's a signature guy.
Now these guys are getting their own shows.
Well, yeah, Rick, what's
the
Rick
restorations
Dale
guy got his own show. The car restoration guy. Got
oh
his
yeah,
own
yeah,
show.
Yeah. I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
They spin
well, it's,
that
it's
shit
crazy.
Off forever.
People are, you know.
Well, what drives me crazy about that? Now, so that show, I think there's obviously the producers interfering with picking out the most interesting items.
Well, yeah, they have to screen it. Because
now, how many people show up at that pawn shop every day?
A lot. And right. I'm guessing that a lot of them, I would think that, you know, I would think pawn dealers really, people are probably, you know, pawning rings and bracelets all day.
Right.
And if you've watched the show, nobody ever pawned a fucking ring or a fucking bracelet on that show. Everyone's got an antique gun,
right?
Or they've got, you know, a signed movie script.
Very
from
rarely
somewhere.
They'll do a piece of jewelry.
So, but I'm saying,
but
they,
no, I know
that's the screening process is there because
most people come in and go, hey, I got this locket that says Amber on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm with Heather.
Right. Yeah.
And
something like that.
Yeah. And then they sell that shit. I know what you're saying.
Or they're selling their car stereo for, you know, not glamorous, interesting items.
What really aggravates me is my favorite show is Storage Wars.
You do. And it's as every bit as fake as Pawn Stars.
But what?
And yet you buy into it.
Well, no, I don't buy into it. I
you don't buy into
I am interested in what. No, look, I think there's a certain element of reality in that they do buy a locker. But what's fake in that show is when they walk in and they go, well, this lamp is worth $70. And this table, yeah, that's 400.
Well, they're guessing on some level.
Well, they're not only guessing, but the guy who runs the consignment shop is setting his own price as he walks in the door.
Well, that's
so the value.
That's smart business, I
guess,
on that level.
But the value that they say, that they claim an item is what they calculate. Yeah, yeah. It's not based on
but
any.
But you know what? That might be really smart business for them, because the fact that those items are on a show, like Pawn Stars or something, if you want
to
buy
that adds value to
the
them?
Antique clock, not only is it an antique clock that's worth so much money, but if it was featured on the show.
Right.
Because that's what people say. I read the, if you read the TripAdvisor for the pawn shop in Vegas, the Pawn Stars pawn shop, people will say, well, it's cool. You go in and you see items from the show.
Mm.
And I guess that's sort of in a, you know, well, it's almost the museum of what's on the show. Sort of.
I guess that, but you know, it's all muskets and it's all. How would you know what this stuff was?
Well, you know, he does not buy modern weaponry.
Yeah, there it was like 1870 or something.
Because I think there's all kinds of laws and stuff that you have to
now. But
go
they
through.
Do they do buy guns on Auction Hunters, which is another show.
Okay,
those guys will buy guns. They find guns in there. They find guns. See on Storage Wars. Sometimes they'll open up a storage locker and it will look exactly like what a storage locker looks like.
Yeah.
In that somebody threw all of their shit.
Yeah.
My uncle's moving and we went over to his house the other day and it's a disaster.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Those are the ones I'm inclined to kind of go with. But when they go into a locker and there's like 8 items and they pull out a Salvador Dali print, that's when I start to, you know what I mean? Like,
but I mean, don't you think they would have to screen the lockers a little bit in that? How many times are they going to tape that auction and that? Don't you think they have to, at least the producer has to look in there and make sure that it's not a bunch of cobwebs in the
right.
How do they not know it's not an empty locker? I mean, there's got to be.
I think what they say is that there's a low percentage of lockers that have, they might buy 10 lockers and one of them might make it on the show.
Really?
Which I understand, but there are times when. So I'm willing to believe them to a certain extent when it does look like just a bunch of shit slapped in there.
Yeah.
It looks like garbage. But when it's like...
I mean, they do show that when you buy a locker that sometimes there's nothing in it. I mean, right. They do have that in the show.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you buy it and it's all garbage. I mean...
Sure, they whiff sometimes. But
so,
I think they whiff a very low percentage of what...
And they have the whiffs on purpose.
To throw you off.
Just sort of to say, you know... Not every time.
Joel, breaking news, television is phony.
Well, it is phony. And you know that they placed ads to get items for Pawn Stars and stuff like that. And they offer people money. And I'm guessing the people are, you know, I believe people are paid for their appearances on those shows as well.
Yeah.
Like if you bring in an item to Pawn Stars, they actually do pay you for appearing on the show.
The items on Hardcore Pawn are a little bit more realistic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's more people come in and go, hey, I want to sell this.
That show is more about the people working in the store, and sort of the reality
about
story there, than about the items.
About what creepy degenerates they are.
Yeah. Oh, and they are.
Yeah,
they are.
They look like the biggest scumbags. I mean, they really do. That guy, I just want to cut that guy's greasy fucking curls.
Do you know where that is? Have you ever been?
Yeah, it's
to
like
that?
8 in the Lodge, right?
It's like 8 in. I don't know if that's what the cross street is, Evergreen or something.
It's a Greenfield.
Greenfield, but it is in like a seedy, shitty part of Detroit. I mean,
it's
like
the northern border of Detroit.
It's and Southfield, but it's not a good block. It's just it's really creepy.
No, it's not. It's maybe not the worst in the.
It's not the worst, but
it's not good.
It's just like it's not. You know, it's not a good place to be.
Mm.
They say the Pawn Stars shop is in a bad part of Vegas.
Yeah.
That's what everyone at TripAdvisor says, but I don't know.
You know what? Yeah, TripAdvisor, by the way, being from Detroit, where they say is a bad neighborhood, we're not shocked.
I don't read the TripAdvisor for Detroit. Is it interesting? Have you ever read it?
I should.
Like, what is the number? Okay, let's play a game right now. Let's make a game, Corey, because we love games. That's what we do on this show. Normally... We play games. That's most of the show most of the time. No, it's not.
Yes, sir.
Like, are you going to do it?
I'm
doing it.
I'm preparing the site to check.
I was going
to
see, let's play a game. What is the number one Detroit thing? What is the number one rated tourist spot in Detroit on TripAdvisor? Go.
I will say the Detroit Institute of Arts.
I was going to say the same fucking thing.
Well,
but could something like the Detroit Waterfront or the Renaissance Center?
Yeah, those are probably
the Winter Garden.
Fairly highly rated, yeah.
Greektown. I'm saying Greektown's number one.
Greektown?
Because that would be listed on TripAdvisor as a thing, right? Greektown?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if the whole neighborhood
Detroit
counts
Institute
or what.
Of Arts, I would say, yeah, okay, I'm going to check.
I mean, obviously the DIA is going to be the top.
I mean, we would say that from going to it and knowing.
Because it's a pretty world-class museum. I mean, it's...
Interesting. So I'm going to say...
Won't be the Science Center, which
I'm going to say... I'm still going to say Greektown, because I think more people probably go to Greektown.
Okay.
Detroit, Michigan.
I mean, because
things to do.
Greenfield there's, Village is not in the city.
There's 68 things. First of all, we completely whiffed. Number one is Comerica Park.
Oh.
Which, okay, I get that.
What about Ford Field?
Number two, the Motown Historical Museum, which I've actually never been to.
Yeah.
The Detroit Institute of Arts is number three. The Guardian Building is number four. I don't know if I've ever been in the Guardian Building.
Building's great.
Can you go in it?
Yeah, like, you can go in it.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been in the Guardian.
The Guardian Building is really cool, like Art Deco
okay.
design in there.
Here's one thing that's really sad, though. Yeah. Like, the Guardian Building is number 459. It's only got 5 reviews.
Wow.
So it's not like it's a big destination. The Detroit Riverfront is number 5. The Fox Theater is number 6. The Charles Wright Museum is number 7. That's the African American History Museum. Ford Field is number 8.
All right, well, speaking of reviews...
Okay. Ara Oxygen is number 9. What is that? It's a massage place or something.
Oh. All right, well, look at the reviews.
The Rensen is number 11, so, yeah.
Look at their restaurants, okay?
What are the restaurants?
All right, the top-rated restaurant is Giovanni's, which I've never been to. Number 2 is Michael Simon's Roast, which I have been to.
I've never been to that.
And the number 3 is Motor City Brewing Works, which has 13 reviews.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, so it's like these are not getting a lot of hits. Roast actually has more reviews than Giovanni's.
Where is Roast?
Roast is in the Book Cadillac. It's in the next to the Westin.
Because I think I've eaten at the Book Cadillac, but I think I went to another one.
Yeah, Roast is it's Michael Simon. It's a real high end restaurant.
Yeah, fuck all that.
We went there though.
What is Giovanni's?
I've never been to Giovanni's.
It's number 1. It's got 31 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Giovanni's Detroit, South Oakwood Boulevard, in Ford. Oh fuck. That's in the hood, man.
You know, there's a lot of places in Detroit, though, that have been there for a million years.
Yeah, because it was nice. But that's almost like, downriver. That's in the far south.
Have you ever been to the...
That's southwest Detroit.
Have you ever been to the Dakota Inn?
No.
The Rathskeller?
No.
It's like a German beer hall.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, they do like a big... They do like October.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, you know...
Anyway, that's a fun place to go. They do, you know... Germans, you know, you can get all kinds of sausage and German stuff, but it's in a neighborhood that, like, everything else around it
is garbage,
liquefied.
Mario's is kind of like that,
like,
too.
Right. You can, well, Mario's is in Wayne State.
But
like, the Dakota Inn's been there for 60 years,
yeah.
And you're like, I'm sure, you know, when this opened,
well,
the rest of the neighborhood was intact. But
well, there's Detroit for you. So go to,
yeah, it's getting better. I mean, it really is. It's gradually getting better. You have to say the downtown area around the stadiums is better than it's been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fine. But,
in our lifetime. The actual downtown area is getting better all the time. But what do you know? There's still lots of problems.
There's still...
Okay, number 4 is the Astoria Pastry Shop.
Which is, you know,
in Greek
where
town.
Tourists go. It's not really,
Well, it's like... What do they have?
You buy a cannoli or an ice cream cone
you can,
or something.
You know,
it's not,
get a hamantaschen or something in there. It's not like a.
It's not like cuisine. Yeah,
it's a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're fine. It's a nice little bakery. It's a nice little bakery.
It's fine. Yeah.
Okay, Buddy's is number 5. It's a pizza place,
which is fine. I mean, some people really do mark out for the Buddy's pizza. I don't. But.
Slow's is number 6.
Which, if you talk to Detroiters, I think that might. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just people I know, but I would say because you know my friends ain't going to expensive. Whatever, Roast or some shit like that. They're going to Slow's.
Yeah, Slow's is the hipster
restaurant
du jour. I mean, Slow's was so successful. A bunch of restaurants have opened around there.
Yeah, yeah.
More people, a bunch of barbecue places have opened.
Yeah.
So it's a huge hit. Anyway, just looking at this, Mudgee's is great. Mudgee's is a deli. That's number 9.
Mudgee's Deli. Never heard of it.
That's over in Corktown.
No,
phenomenal.
Never been there.
Top rate. Well, you know, whatever. You're.
I'm not a big food guy. I mean, I like food, but I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather go. See, the thing is, when I eat, I like to go someplace I know.
Well,
I'm not a big guy that goes to places I don't know to eat.
Well, we know, Joel.
Because I go, I'm not going to enjoy that. It's no good.
Oh, I like that. Okay, number 18 is the second Slow's location. Yeah. That's the best part.
All right. Enough.
All right.
Enough.
I'm checking out the TripAdvisor. There you go.
You go ahead. Well, I mean, I never go. I read TripAdvisor about, like, when I'm traveling, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of it is kind of skewed when, you know, I know there's phony TripAdvisor reviews, like hotels will write phony positive reviews of their own hotels.
I'm starting to wonder about this, though, because some of the restaurants that are hot right now are not on, like Atlas Global Bistro is not on there, and, you know, Good Girls Go to Paris Crepes is not
You're not filling out TripAdvisor reviews.
I guess I should.
You should be doing that, Corey.
Fuck TripAdvisor.
All over.
Here you go, Joel. Urban Spoon.
Urban Spoon. Well, there you go.
That's where you go.
There's another website I don't care about. Urban Spoon.
There you go.
It's another thing I could give two fucks about.
Joel, Le Petit Zinc isn't on here.
Well, I have a... Do you want to play... I have a mystery item in this envelope. Do you want to guess what's in this envelope?
Well, it's not a dildo.
It's not a dildo. It'd be very flat.
It'd be a flat
horrible
dildo. They should make them like that.
Do you want to feel this? Is that helping
It's obviously a CD of some kind.
Well, maybe it's not.
It's Harry Berberian's new album.
Feel that. Don't open it, but be careful with it. It is delicate.
It's a... What is it?
You don't know? I said don't...
No, it's a CD.
Don't bend it or anything. It's a CD.
It's hefty.
It's a little hefty.
It's a gold disc.
It's a gold disc, yes. This is Wing Speed of Sound gold disc. I bought it at the Gold and Silver Pawn in Las Vegas. The 45. No, I'll show you what this is. This is my new favorite thing, Corey.
Okay.
My new favorite thing is... This is the Kindle 4.
Oh.
That's what this is, yeah. And I fooled you because it's in a 6x9 envelope.
Oh, wow.
And so you'll be surprised that it would be so small.
Yeah, I won't have one of those. I won't have one of those in my own home.
Corey, well, you should have one of these.
No, hate them.
I'm telling you, after a day, you should have one.
Job killer.
No, I've had this for... I got this on Sunday. And I absolutely love it. And you should have one.
Nope.
Yes.
Not
going to
do
one.
It.
Oh, let me convince you.
No, I hate e-readers.
Why would you hate this e-reader?
Because it puts people out of work.
Who's it putting out of work?
People who had jobs in bookstores.
But the bookstores still exist.
But not as many.
Well, listen. The reason Borders went out of business is because they didn't have an e-reader.
Yeah.
That you know, Barnes & Noble made the Nook, and it's become one of their top products.
Yeah.
So, but when you read on this, it's so easy to read on this, and it's so fast,
you know what looks so good. You know
what
else is easy to read?
No, it's not. It's not easy to read. I'm telling you. I have a million books, and none of them are as easy to read. As I know, that's a great book.
Oh, here it is. It's a book.
I love that book.
It's a book.
That's a
on
great
paper.
Book.
I picked it open.
And listen.
I went, oh.
Corey, listen.
I can honestly say that the evening session was very much on my mind.
You're reading from...
Here, there, and everywhere. My life recording the music of the Beatles.
Jeff Emmerich, the Beatles recording engineer's memoir. Okay, but this now, here's my thing with an e-reader.
Yeah.
I love books. And you can tell I'm a guy that loves books. My house is full of books. Full of books.
Yeah.
Look behind you.
Not as many as mine, but
you got
go
more
ahead.
Books, but whatever. But you know what? I got books in boxes in the basement. That aren't even on display.
No,
I mean, I've got
lots
of books.
I'm not arguing. You read, sure.
But this is an easier way to read. And my feeling is that if you have a book that is merely, you know, words on a page, it's much better to get the ebook version of it. Because you don't have a giant book sort of in your house.
No, I know.
Taking up room and stuff. And it's so great because, you know, I've already read... I read a full book this week, which I'll tell you the book I read in a minute, which is funny. And then I'm reading Penn Jillette's book, God No, Signs You May Already Be an Atheist. And since last night, I've read 57% of the book.
Well, there you go.
According to the little bar at the bottom of the Kindle.
I got you.
It's terrific. I mean, I read, and the first thing I set out to read was They Call Me Baba Booey by Gary Delapate.
Well,
and it was great.
All right, maybe you got a case because They Call Me Baba Booey shouldn't exist.
You don't want that displayed on your shelf, and you would feel less embarrassed to walk around and read it on your Kindle than that.
Look, I understand all of the arguments for in favor of the Kindle. It's the same arguments in favor of the iPod.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I see that.
And at the end of the day, it's information. It's data.
Yeah, it's data. It's, so what's the difference?
The difference is there's no fucking soul. The difference is there's no heart.
There's no soul.
There's no reality to it.
But it's the
same.
It
doesn't exist in a physical space.
It's the same book.
I understand.
I mean, it has a title page. It has the
what's next,
table
Joel?
Of contents.
What's next? Virtual reality blowjobs.
Well, the idea.
I'm a Luddite about this.
The idea is that people will buy more books if they're more convenient.
Yeah,
if they're
don't take up space. But at a lower cost.
Well, it depends on what the cost is. Generally, on Amazon, new releases cost about $10. Yeah. Listen, if you look up and to your right, you'll see hovering on a shelf is that ESPN book. Mm-hmm. Those guys have all the fun. I should have fucking got that on an ebook.
It's giant.
Because it's giant. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah, well.
Am I ever going to really read that? I mean, you know. I could make reference to it at some point. You know what I mean? Like, I may want to read a passage from that book at some point in time. But for the rest of my life, I'm going to have, like, a 6-pound book with me at all times. And I don't want that.
Well, I understand that.
And it was a fine book. I'm not saying it was a terrible book. It was a good book.
I understand that when I move, I certainly
exactly.
feel that way. Because
when you
heavy.
Move, you got, just in your living room, I'm guessing you have 200 books in your living room.
Probably.
Right now. And some of those are your girlfriend's books, but, you know, you move together, right. Whatever, they're there.
Yeah.
So when you move, you got to take a shitload of books. And I love, like, anything that's got a picture on it or is some sort of graphical layout, you really do need the book.
Right.
But I'm saying when it's something, when it's just words on paper.
When it's a paperback, sure.
Then sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not to get an ebook.
You know what? Here's the thing. You're right.
I was unconvinced for years on the Kindle, but this is the newest one. This is the 4. It's the smallest one they make. It's not the touch. Well, it's got the buttons.
You are also a tech head.
Right.
You're also a early adopter who feels like he has to have all the
But tech. These things have been out for 5 years.
You've got a fucking Fakakta 3D TV. Which nobody gives a flying fuck about. What are you still... You're still watching the Auburn versus Miami game.
No, I'm not. That's
like the
I got rid of the 3D
right,
channel. But
because there's no goddamn content.
Of course, I would let you know that up there is a... copy of The Lion King in 3D Blu-ray that is waiting to be watched.
All right, look, I'm a Luddite. You can call me. And look, I'm looking right now. I got a fucking laptop open on the internet.
Yes.
I do love the internet.
Sure.
I post on fucking Twitter and Facebook all day like it's my job. And you can follow me at Corey Hall Comic at at Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
Of course.
At Corey Hall Comic. Please follow me there. I'll try and put something funny up. But, my feeling about media consumption, about CDs and books and record albums and all that shit, I'm old-fashioned. I grew up with that stuff. I have an affinity for that stuff. I have an affection for that stuff. Some of my favorite moments were spent hanging out in book and record stores.
Sure.
And I will always, until the day I die, which hopefully won't be too long, despise...
Which hopefully won't be too long.
Yeah, I don't want to live
you're
in this...
You're done?
I don't want to live in this fucking... Look, that's... Captain Picard's fucking thing, okay?
Well, look, but
Captain Picard had a goddamn... He read books on that. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in a fucking
it's
world.
It's great. It's great. I can sit on the bed. I can set this down next to me. I don't need to hold my finger in the thing. If I turn it off, the phone rings, I don't need to put a bookmark
look,
in.
Look, I could take this in the bedroom and read off
right,
this.
Right, but it's
I
not
wanted.
As convenient as this, and the screen isn't as nice. This is an e-ink screen that is easy to read. There's no eye strain.
Wipe your ass with it. I hate them.
Oh, well, listen.
I will never...
I'm telling my fans, the listeners of this show, yeah. that because I did not have an e-reader.
Your fans.
My fans, the listeners of this
Who's
show.
Who's that?
All right. A couple of them.
All right. What?
That this is a great product, the Kindle right. 4. It's $79.
Yeah.
I picked this up at Best Buy, but you can get it on Amazon.com. Of course, they sell it. Best Buy sells it. I think Target sells it now. It's the newest one. It doesn't have a keyboard. It doesn't have a touch screen. You've buttons to go forward and back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can surf the web on it, although the web browser is not great. I actually set it up. I used a program called Caliber to download website subscriptions through RSS feeds. And it actually makes a digital magazine for you out of the website. And every morning I can wake up and have... my favorite websites as digital magazines on my Kindle, which is nice. I mean, it's just really cool, man. I'm just thinking, like, the future is like...
The future is boring.
The future is this. You know, I can have the Detroit News on this every morning if I want.
The future is boring as fuck.
And it doesn't, you know, it's green. It doesn't waste paper.
Well, it wastes electricity.
Well, whatever, but I mean, if this thing charges, it's got a month-long charge on the thing.
Yeah.
It's really great. If I gave you this and you read a book on it, you would be like,
I'd hate it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
No.
Yeah, you would.
You can't take it in the bathtub.
You can take it in the bathtub. You can put it in a plastic bag and take it in the bathtub.
Oh, that's terrible.
You can.
Loathe them.
Well, listen, you loathe them, but you don't have one. And I was not sold on the Kindle for years, but when they put out their new models, and they're putting out the Fire, which is a little touchscreen tablet, iPad wannabe.
Yeah.
But even that's not going to be as good as this because it's going to have a backlit LCD screen, which is going to cause eye strain.
I honestly, and this is going to shock you, don't even like the iPod.
Well, I mean, the iPod's fine for what it is. I use a Sansa MP3 player because I take it to the gym with me. Oh.
Hang on, that's your mic.
I think that's me fucking up.
I'm going to tell you the actual, at the bottom of all of my detest for the digital media.
Yes.
Which, by the way, it's a book called Player Piano, which you can buy in a used bookstore.
What is Player Piano?
By Kirk Vonnegut.
Yeah.
From 1958.
Okay.
The most prescient book ever written about the current state of the world.
Okay.
What happens?
The greatest book about current modern day was written in 1950.
It's absolutely right.
Okay.
Now, here's what happens in that
book. What's in the book? I'm not familiar.
Okay. It's a book in which everything is automated.
Okay.
So that the only people who have jobs are the elites.
Okay.
There's some brain workers that run shit on the top.
Yes.
But all of the people are disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. All of the guys that used to work in factories and stamp out shit and make widgets are unemployed and starving.
I see where that relates to today's world. Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going
on. That's going on, yes.
Every new digital device, which makes our world a wonderful, gleaming, special, magical place, is a job killer.
Well, listen. I mean, jobs are... You are somebody...
Now, granted.
But you're employed by somebody who makes content. Yes. Yeah, you worked in a bookstore for a long time, and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, what you're talking about
now is
your job may be to write content for Kindles. At some point.
That's what my job already is. I already write for websites.
Exactly. So maybe you should not be so anti this. Maybe it's good for you to have a device like this, which enables people to read content easier.
I appreciate. You know what? That works in theory, but what I've discovered about digital media consumption is that it actually... For some people, for you, for the kind of guy who wants to get everything fresh and immediate now, you're a tech head.
Well,
that works great. But for a lot of people, they're disincentivized because there isn't a physical product. There isn't something they can wrap their hands around.
Right.
It just exists in this floating cloud of digits and numbers.
But also the thing that you have to remember, too, is that, you know, people now are going to be able to publish their own books. They're going to be able to make money from these books. A guy made a book. He published his own book on Amazon for a dollar. He sold 1 million books for a dollar. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I know.
It happens. There are. I mean, saying as podcasting has freed up the airwaves, as it has made it able for new voices to find audiences.
Yeah,
such as myself.
I wish we'd found an audience.
We found the audience hasn't found us. I think that's the issue. But
if we had found an audience, your theory would have been right.
But
let me try this. Let's see if 610-552-0746. Call the douchebag hotline.
Call the douchebag hotline.
See if anybody ever calls in.
Coral Corey a douchebag.
610-552-0746. No, look,
but I'm saying that is the issue. I mean, listen,
on a logical level, I go, gee, isn't it wonderful to have access to everything?
Uh-huh.
And on a practical level, I find that the wanting of the thing was better than the having of the thing.
Well, listen, you're in the minority. I'm sad to say. I mean, whatever. You can think what you want to think, and you know, you're entitled to your opinion, and you have a sound, rational opinion. But it's also it's actually not all rational. It is somewhat emotional. And, I mean, that's what people are. People are not all rational.
I'm not disputing
that. They're not all reason. They are emotional, and that's fine.
You're a fucking soulless robot, and you always have been.
No. I love my Beatles. I love to open up a book and look at a picture of John Lennon. You know, I like that.
Uh-huh.
And that isn't gone.
I'll tell you what.
But I would not have read Baba Booey's book if I would have had to buy it. I probably would not have bet Penn Jillette's book, which I now have on here. I have Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up, on here. I mean, I have a lot of books that I just never bought that now I can get on the Kindle.
I'll tell you what. It goes both ways, okay? There's these magazines that are, like, about the history of comic books. That, like, are super wonky, nerdy stuff. Like, who was writing Ghost Rider in 1972? You know, it's stuff about, and it's like guys telling, you know, the background stories and all that stuff. It's super wonky. It's like Beatles stuff for you. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's an area I know all too much about, and it's really wallowing in the same pool. But I like to, those are great bathroom reads for
me.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So sometimes I'll buy some of them off the website when they have sales. And what they do is they send you a PDF at the same time you order the physical magazine.
Okay.
But I'll take the PDF file and dump it somewhere and not look at it because I'd rather have the actual magazine.
You could put a PDF on here and read it.
Yeah, I know. But
and you can read, you know, I mean, there's ways of, you know, you could read part of the book on this and part of the physical book if you wanted to. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that make this convenient. But my feeling is like, you know, I'd never buy these books. I really wouldn't. I really feel like.
Well, how
you know,
much did you pay for They Call Me Baba Booey?
Well, actually, in this case, I paid nothing for it.
Okay.
There's ways to get books that are not exactly
that's,
supporting
okay.
people, but I'm saying.
There you go.
Wait a minute.
There's
no,
the rub.
No.
And I know you.
There
use,
is a rub. There
I know
is a
you
rub.
Use BitTorrent.
I don't use BitTorrent.
You are a thief.
I'm not a thief.
You're a thief.
Listen,
of people.
My when room you, is filled with media that I purchased. Look at it. Look around.
When you
look
go.
Look around the Joel Radio
when
Studios.
When you go.
Books.
To,
CDs. Blu-rays. PS3 games. Xbox 360 games. I've got a video game from Japan sitting on my shelf.
When you
that
go,
I paid a lot of money for.
When you go to Mitch and Charlie Slap and Tickle Hut in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes. It's a great club, by the way.
I know. And when you...
The open mic is amazing.
It's wonderful. I hear that there's going to be a dojo there any
there
minute.
There is. It's
when
life.
You... when you... No, it's going to be a dojo, and it's going to break down everything you need to know in comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know where the comedy business is?
Where is it?
Defiance, Ohio.
Yeah, pretty most
that's
of it's
where
there.
The comedy industry, where the just power players, Joel.
The hot spot
they
is.
They all it. Run through that dojo. You wouldn't.
Oh,
Peter
God.
Lasalle comes by three times a week.
All right. You're blowing the equipment out.
What
we're
I'm
in the
saying,
red court.
All right.
Smoke is coming out of the board.
What I'm saying, when you drive to a comedy gig and you perform for people live and in person.
I do, yes.
You expect money to be paid to you.
I do, yes.
For that act.
I do, yeah.
Yet you're the same guy who I know has downloaded many, many items that you may not have paid full retail price for.
In some cases, sure. But most of the time, I'm actually very
look
good about...
It this way,
I buy a lot. I spend a lot of money on media. I do. I mean, I'm talking Blu-rays,
Joel,
like video games.
Our beloved porn...
I bought three video games this month.
Our beloved porn industry is in trouble. And, you know, they always say, you know, HD DVD tanked because porn decided to go with Blu-ray.
Well,
I've never seen a porn
that's
Blu-ray.
That's actually kind of not true, but...
I know. That's the urban legend.
Yeah, well, porn likes to take credit for everything because
they're
an honest profession.
Did you see what's...
They would never lie.
Did you see what's going on? I can't remember which studio. It's not Vivid, but it's one of the studios. Mm-hmm. Is trying to sue BitTorrent users, and they petitioned like Comcast to get the names.
Yeah, that's the thing with a lot of
because they could see who was using the data.
Yeah.
But they didn't have names to associate.
They don't have names to associate
to
the IP address or whatever.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And they want to do that, but you know.
Well, and you know
what? The record industry did that. Here's the problem. The thing with me, this is the thing with media. This is the thing with porn.
Yeah.
This is the thing with music. And music has come around on this. Music is actually, I think, figured out something. I mean, not that the music industry is what it used to be because it isn't. But here's the deal. If you make media accessible, affordable, and you give people good content, meaning you're not just giving you garbage, you know, independent records, self-published things. If you're giving people good content that they want and make it affordable and easily accessible, that people will spend money for it. And iTunes figured that out. And, you know, Amazon is really the king of that when it comes to books because they say, you know, they sell more books than anybody because they make it easy to get them.
Well,
they make it cheap to get them.
But, you know,
and that really helps out the publishing industry as much as, you know, it's
the
dearth of bookstores. Well, you know.
The movie business is killing themselves.
Well, exactly, because they're the same thing.
Netflix is taking a dump.
Well,
What's happened is that the digital what happened is that the formerly artificially high prices for media have been deflated.
Yes.
And now these companies and the artists themselves are having to, despite the fact that it's easier to access, despite the fact that there's theoretically larger marketplaces, they're getting shafted and they're having to make do with less.
Well, It's not true in the grand scheme of things, because there's more revenue than ever coming into movies. The problem is that they've got bad deals set up with things.
Well, they fuck themselves in the ancillary market.
People, yeah, I mean, they'll say, well, box office is down. But, you know, the DVD thing didn't even exist 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. DVD income did not exist, period, 15 years ago. So whatever they make on that is really gravy. But what happens is then they build it into their expectations for what these things are going to make. And then when that drakes up, well, then you have streaming income. Well, streaming didn't exist. You know, pay-per-view didn't exist. So these new media streams, rather than being afraid of them, if media companies embraced them and monetized them, they would be better off. And that's what you're seeing with streaming. Uh-huh. Things like, you know how many people pay for Hulu every month?
Yeah.
You know what you get on Hulu? The same shit that's coming to your house for free. You're watching The Office. It comes to your house every day for free, but it's not convenient to watch that. When you make it convenient, people spend their money for it.
Yeah.
And that's the argument that's for it. I mean, it's a sea change. It's a different way of thinking about it.
No, I know.
And Amazon really has done that. And that's why I like Amazon. I like the Kindle. I like that they, you know, I like that somebody broke this down on one of the tech websites and says that they think they're losing $10 a Kindle.
Yeah.
Based upon what the components cost.
Well,
but they're saying they're making it up because they're selling you the books.
Has Sony ever made a profit on the PlayStation
3? Well, the video games, exactly, yeah. Xbox, the same thing.
I think the Xbox is finally at the point where they're profitable.
They may be able to make those for cheap enough, but they make the money on licensing the software.
But the PlayStation's never made money on
the hardware itself doesn't, yeah. So it's the same thing, you know. It's razors and blades.
I guess ultimately, the razors are cheap. Look, it's unstoppable. It's irresistible. It's what we're going to live with.
Well,
but I'm going to tell you what: in 6-7 years, you won't be able to. You won't have any reason to leave the fucking house. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I actually think, and you're gonna probably try and argue this.
All right.
But I think when you don't have books, or things in front of people, they have no excuse. They have no reason to go. See physical objects in the world. I feel like we're in a literate culture already. Even though people spend all day on their fucking phones and their internet, it seems like there's a lack of connection to the world. Now, you know, granted, people have always been stupid.
Yeah,
people never read
dumb
books in their whole fucking life. I just hate them. I hate them. I'm a smart guy. I read
Corey
books.
Hates people.
I consume media. And I don't... just because it's there faster...
Right.
Again, my argument is, and my point is, and it probably is an emotional point... But my argument is that having access to everything cheapens it.
Well, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with your argument, but that's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. And you're listing the cons, which is fine. I'm trying to list for you the pros of the Kindle, and yet you don't care because you're emotionally attached to these things which don't exist anymore. Or may not exist. But for some people, the existence of the book doesn't matter to some people. You know, having that on their shelf,
people?
And someone comes over and they look at your bookshelf and they go, oh, you read that book. You must be a smart guy. They don't care about that. They want to know what's in the book because it enlightens them. It's in their head. It makes you smarter. It makes you more informed. Well, I mean, it's a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying your opinion is wrong. I mean, you're coming to it from somebody who didn't, you know, grow up with who didn't grow up with Kindles. But if you were a kid, don't you think you would have wanted this? Don't you think you would have wanted a comic book on this? Because I know comic books are selling digital versions.
Yeah.
This one's not color. E-ink color is coming.
I'll tell you what.
Which isn't necessary for that.
Yeah, there's constant arguments about digital comics.
Yeah.
Online.
In fact, there's a big war between, I believe Amazon has an exclusive deal with Marvel or something, and Barnes & Noble is mad that Marvel's not on their
DC
store.
Barnes & Noble. Well, this is the other shitty thing about Borders going out.
Yeah.
Is that now there's only one bookstore chain to deal with.
Sure.
Barnes & Noble pulled a bunch of DC graphic novels off their shelves over a dispute.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens with cable
but
companies.
But what they did is they've pulled their physical stuff
because
it was a dispute over the digital rights to the comics that Amazon had an exclusive deal, which I'm not for that. And Amazon actually has been pretty good about, you know, you can buy your books anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't really care where you get them. You can still put them on your Kindle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you buy it from the store, they send it to you directly.
Okay, ultimately the dream...
You can buy books from the Kindle itself. You can go to the Amazon
store. Other than going to a restaurant and eating food.
Yeah.
there will be no excuse to ever leave your home. And you know what?
Well,
I don't like that.
The excuse for people to go out of their house is because people like to go out of their house.
Yeah,
that's why movie theaters still exist. Right. People like that experience. They like to go out.
As a guy who spent most of his adult life shopping in, you know.
Okay.
But I find that the experience of shopping, and look, we're having the, this happens in hipster circles all the time. this is why what's interesting is that as the CD sales have declined,
yeah,
vinyl stores have opened up.
Right.
Because people want the
There's
tactile.
People who want to touch a 12-inch.
Now, vinyl, you can fuck yourself.
Exactly.
That stuff's heavy.
Vinyl guys are morons.
Vinyl takes up a lot of space.
Right. I mean, I get that you like it, but it's still not.
I appreciate,
you know,
exactly. Look, the artwork's cool.
Yeah.
You get, look at the size of that.
Yeah.
You know, which you painted.
I painted it. An OJ's record album that I painted over.
No, the actual physical object is beautiful. The size, the shape, the artwork, uh-huh, on the cover. I get why people like vinyl. Personally, I don't want to fuck around with the vinyl because it's heavy.
Right.
It's a pain in the ass.
Well, a lot of times I know this, if you order vinyl from stores online, they'll send you an MP3. As you order the vinyl.
Same thing with the magazine.
So you don't actually ever have to listen to the vinyl, but you still have it on your shelf, and you can still put it in a milk crate,
right,
when you move from your third to fourth upper flat in Hamtramck.
To be honest, though, this is all sort of nostalgic for me because I consider myself a collector, but I'm less of one than I ever, mm-hmm, was.
Yeah,
I used to. I mean, I have boxes of comic books, which will attest to this. And Amy always goes, you spent every dollar you ever made. And if you look at it, I got a lot of books and comics and CDs and all kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And it's cluttering up my life.
Yes.
And people want, but you know what? People go, well, it's so much freeing, better. Like, and then what you're going to do is you're going to have an empty house. You're going to have a sit. You're going to have a sit in an empty room and with one fucking screen. And that's what we're heading towards.
Well, listen,
and you know what?
I got multiple screens. I got a smartphone. I got a Kindle. I got an HD TV. I got a PC.
Ultimately, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road,
there's going to be some convergence.
Be one screen,
sure,
and all your, sure, world will come out of that screen. Or there'll be screens in multiple parts of your room.
Yeah.
They'll all be linked into the same, yeah, network, and they'll all bring in the same stuff. And you know what? I find that fucking boring. You know what I enjoy?
Corey.
No. I know this doesn't make sense to people.
Go home and let your animals out of their cages, okay? And put chicken around you or whatever you're going to do. Because it's the same sign of craziness
that
you're describing, but it's the same mentality of that guy.
It's not craziness.
Yeah. One day there won't be tigers, so I'll put 18 of them in my house in Zanesville, see?
All right.
That's how we're going to save them.
All right, hold the fucking phone, asshole.
For what?
Hold the phone.
What?
You bought...
I bought...
both the stereo and mono Beatles
Listen,
box set.
I'm not saying I'm not crazy.
You bought both the stereo and mono Beatles box sets, right? Including the, including all the artwork and stuff that's included in those.
Yes.
You didn't. You could have got all the MP3s.
The crazy thing is I actually bought a 12-inch hardcover book,
right,
with all of the album-sized artwork in it that's on my other bookshelf that's not in this room.
More than that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That,
no, it's crazy.
You have a 5-pound book that details the stereo equipment in the EMI recording
studio.
Right, studios.
I do. It's called Recording the Beatles. It's on my top shelf.
You know what I'm saying?
That book cost $110, too.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. No,
but
I'm
not
saying it's not crazy.
Don't you fucking love that book?
I love that book.
You do.
But that book is not words on paper. It's diagrams and it's schematics.
There's pages of circuit boards.
There are.
From like,
I know,
1959.
I love it. I love that.
Right.
That's fantastic.
That's never coming out of a fucking Kindle.
But I don't want that. I don't want the circuit board of Baba Booey's house on Long Island in 1976. Yeah. I don't want that. It's words on paper.
You know
I
what?
Can
I guess.
Read
okay.
That.
I guess what
it enriches my life from the act of reading it. Penn Jillette is arguing against the existence of God. I don't need that on paper. I'm getting his argument.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've read hundreds of thousands of articles online.
Sure.
That don't exist as a magazine.
Yeah.
So in that respect,
right,
that's good.
Yes.
And by the way, America is a shit. What a shitty country. Hoarding is not a problem in other parts of the world.
Yeah, it's like you got some. It's great.
I do a bit in my act about this. Yeah. About, you know, how come there's no episode of Hoarders Bangladesh?
No.
It's never like, you know, oh, Jip Chuck has two pieces of tin. Wow, he's insane. He has four goats.
We got to step in here and stop this.
It's crazy. Look at him. Look at that.
Look, how many balls of mud are too many for one man to own?
The man has 7 Fanta cans. Who needs all that? 7 cans of Fanta.
Well, listen.
Look.
Oh, by the way, I'm mad at you. I'm going to yell at you about something
good.
Else.
What else did
you
I
want to yell at you about something else? We'll change topics. But listen, to summarize, the Kindle 4, if you're looking for an e-reader, I was not even interested in an e-reader. And then Amazon introduced the $79 brand new Kindle 4. The Kindle Touch comes out next month. I personally don't want to finger up my screen because I think it makes it a little harder to read when you got fingerprints all over it. Uh-huh. So I'm using the regular Kindle with the buttons. I've read almost 2 full books in about 5 days, which I never would have done if they were paper books. And I know it's – you just have to use it and understand it, and it's great, and I love it. So get the Kindle 4.
All right, my final argument.
I'm summarizing. Yeah,
all right, my final argument is that, yes, it's all wonderful and flashy and neat, but particularly with something like comic books or books, the actual process of going out, leaving your house, putting your clothes on, and entering a store or a library or wherever you got to go, you get human interaction.
Okay.
And comic book, that's why I hate digital comic books most of all, because the comic book store is a sacred place for nerds. Because where else are you going to meet guys that know as much about Green Lantern trivia as you do? That's the place. It's a meeting place. And the record store is a meeting place. And I can't tell you how many girls I've met in bookstores over the years. It's a great thing.
I don't argue against any of those things, but I still think that there is a place for this. I think there's a demand for it. I think people will.
It's obviously a demand for
it. I thought people that had Kindles, I see people at the gym with the Kindle. I go, what a fucking nut job. And now
I'm going to be the guy at the treadmill
or on the exercise bike, and I'm going to have the Kindle in front of me. Reading, they call me Baba Booey or some dumb shit.
I can't read and work out. I mean, I can watch TV.
I don't yet. Maybe I'll try it, but
yeah,
I like it anyway. Here's why I'm mad at you, aside from all this.
Oh, what else did I'm not mad. What a provocative discussion.
What a great discussion. I think we've settled it, though. I think we finally figured it out.
We have different points of view. 610-552-0746. Give us your thoughts.
On the Kindle.
About the digital revolution and how it's ruining America.
So I'm mad at you for this.
What? Or the world.
The other day.
You're in Dusseldorf, Germany.
Last week, my girlfriend had a couple days off.
Yeah.
And she had a cold and she was sick. So I spent most of my time with her.
Mm-hmm.
Was at her house. My girlfriend who you must love because she has no cable or no internet. I mean, I can't believe
that's not what I said.
I can't believe that's not your dream.
Hold on. We didn't
discuss
cable.
No, my girlfriend's even more old school than you.
Yeah.
And she has no books, so it's really great.
By the way, people without cable, dummies. All right, go ahead.
She does have an HD TV because I put one there. But
there are more free channels now than there ever have
there
been.
There are, yes, and you can.
They're not all good, but there's more of them.
Right. If you want to watch a cooking show, the In
or...
Like Flint and the R Like Flint played black back to black on Friday night at 8 p.m.
I kind of love that.
You can get that, but so she says to me, "We got to go get some movies because I got nothing to watch."
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, we'll go get some movies. We'll go to Blockbuster, which barely exists now. You can cry for them, too. Actually, I like Blockbuster. I will defend them.
Well, you know what you lose? You lose, okay, now there's Redbox or whatever.
Yeah.
What, are you going to stand in a Walmart and go, what are we going to watch tonight?
Yeah, people do.
You know what? People go, oh, they hated Blockbuster. They hated late fees. They hated the whole thing. But now you know what you're missing? The whole conversation about what movie you're going to watch.
Yeah, it's
which is a fun thing to do.
I like Blockbuster in that reason. I think Blockbuster's made some dumb decisions over the years, but the concept of a video store should work.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we go to Blockbuster, and she says, "I'm going to get Scream 4." I said, "Okay, Scream 4."
Uh-huh.
It was shot in Detroit, and I liked Scream 1 and 2 and Wes Craven.
Yeah,
what did I
have to do with Scream 4?
Yeah, nothing to do with Scream 4. So she says, "That's what my pick is. But we're going to get 2 movies, and you get to pick a movie." And I said, "That's fine." Bam, Tree of Life. It's a Blockbuster exclusive.
Oh, okay.
So then I go to Ladyfront. Why isn't Tree of Life on Blu-ray? Well, because we only got DVD copies. So did Blockbuster go suck my dick? But here's my point about you. I said, well, that's not available. What else is in the new releases? Hey, it's The Trip with Steve Coogan and Rob. Okay.
You didn't like
The Trip. So I get The Trip. Now, I've seen Steve Coogan in movies. I'm not a huge Steve Coogan guy, but I liked 24-Hour Party People was really good. Michael Winterbottom was the director. He also directed The Trip.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, and Corey, we had a conversation that probably took about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That you saw The Trip and it was good.
Right.
And that was enough for me. That was enough for me to go,
honey,
on this rainy, cold day when you have a cold, we'll watch The Trip. Corey recommended it. I've seen these guys. They're funny. This fucking movie. This fucking piece of garbage.
You didn't like The Trip?
The piece of garbage.
Oh, you're full of it.
Well, first of all, It's charming.
Yeah.
It's good. Here's the story of the trip. Two guys take like an eating tour of the north of England.
Right.
And they get in a Range Rover and they drive to the north of England.
Yeah.
And they stop by the side of the road to climb a cliff and they talk about their lives. Most of them, it though, is sitting around eating expensive food, doing dueling Michael Caine impressions.
Yes.
Reminded me of me and you if we would have done the same
thing. Yeah, except we didn't have the croquembouche and the
Yeah. So I'm sitting there watching the movie.
We didn't have the deconstructed onion soup or whatever.
And my girlfriend can find no joy in this whatsoever.
Okay.
She's sitting there just so, and I go, look, I'm not going to defend this movie and say it's great. If you like Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, you're probably going to like this. And I like those guys a little bit.
Did you not?
So I liked the movie a little bit. I'm not saying it was a terrible movie.
Were you not entertained by the impressions they were doing?
It was the worst movie that, I mean, my girlfriend was so not into this. Right. It was so bad. It wasn't a bad movie. Look, the movie was they aimed low and they hit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were trying to make the world's greatest movie. They were trying to make a lightweight, charming indie comedy.
It does not have the biggest ambitions. I think it's a really funny movie.
Look, it has its moments. I'm not...
Yeah.
But she was so mad at me for this fucking trip. Well, and she ended up laughing at times because there are some genuinely funny things that happen. And she laughed. But like when they were doing impressions and stuff, she just thought it was the biggest piece of garbage.
Probably one thing, it's you got to be something of a Britophile to enjoy it.
There's a lot of Brit stuff.
There's a lot. And you would get the British humor.
Right.
Most of the time.
And the guys like play themselves, but it's weird.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
But here's the thing. I'm gonna put a counter offer to you.
Okay,
the Tree of Life.
Yes,
would have been just as divisive.
I don't know.
She would have hated
really
Tree of Life.
She said she's wanted to see Tree of Life. She's gone like, I want to see Tree of Life. I want to see this.
If you think,
and I'm a, you know, I like Terrence Malick, and I'm a big fan of his. So.
If you think nothing happened to the tree.
Yeah, the Tree of Life was just a little swerve, but still haven't seen Tree of Life.
If you think nothing happens in the trip,
really,
Tree of Life is you're going to want to kick the fucking television.
But is Tree of Life annoying? Like a guy sitting there doing two guys doing bad Woody Allen impressions back?
Okay,
and forth.
But see,
I mean, is it that you know?
All right, now I did not. By the way, I did not recommend the movie for Heather.
You recommended it for me.
I recommended it for you,
and I picked it out.
And you can see the entertainment value in the film, right?
I did, and it was fine.
I'm not upset
that I saw the trip. That's not the issue.
You might not have thought it was the best movie of the year, but you could certainly sit there and go, when they're doing the Michael and Caine impressions and stuff, that's funny.
Right.
I didn't recommend it for Heather.
To you and I.
Heather likes more.
She don't know who Michael Caine is, probably.
Heather likes more mainstream stuff.
She does.
She's more of a popcorn
movie
kind of girl.
She's not a Brit. And, you know, she'll watch any bad movie.
This is on you.
It's on me.
You should know.
It's on you.
You should know what your girlfriend's going to
do. Well, listen. You know what? If I had gotten 24-hour party people and she had never seen that, she probably would have liked that. You know what I mean? And Michael Winterbottom is making the Beatles movie. The Longest Cocktail Party about Apple.
Okay.
He's making that. And I'll go see that. And like, that's
who's playing Magic Alex?
They haven't cast it yet. Okay. They said they wanted... Somebody was going to play.
Did you see, now not as good a movie, but did you see The Boat That Rocked?
I did not.
Okay.
Was that Michael Winterbottom as well?
No, but it's
kind of the same thing.
It's about pirate radio. It's
called Pirate Radio in America, actually.
Oh, it was.
It's the name of the movie.
Yeah, you're right. Pirate Radio.
Yeah.
You'd like that because it's in that era.
Okay.
And it's about, you know.
But I've seen that on the cable. I know it's on. I haven't seen it. I haven't sat down to watch it.
It's not a great movie, but it's okay.
You know, the thing with her is that she, you know, if I get a movie that I think is going to be good, like we were doing, I went to the documentary section one night and I grabbed Man on Wire. And I go,
did
I don't
like that?
She loved it.
Okay.
And that's a great movie.
All right, but
and I said, let's watch Man on Wire.
Look at this way. She wanted Scream 4.
She did. And you know what? We watched
The Trip and Scream 4 same palette.
We watched Scream 4 and neither of us really thought Scream 4 was very good. We didn't hate it. It wasn't a hateable movie, but it just wasn't that good. So even she admitted that Scream 4 wasn't good, but
Is she into, she like horror movies?
She likes horror movies, yeah.
Did she not want to go see Paranormal Activity 3?
Well, she hasn't seen the other two Paranormal Activities.
Oh, you
so
don't
she
need
feels
to.
Bad. But I won't go to that. So she will have
I
to gotta, get that
I will
own.
Say this. Let me give you a brief review of Paranormal
go
Activity
ahead,
3.
Yeah, sure.
I guess we were going to talk
done
about
with
something.
The trip, but...
I get what you're saying.
But I'm saying, look...
Again, I did not recommend.
I'm blaming you because had you not said it, I may not have gotten it. That's the thing.
All right, it did not, and that's going on my top 10 list of the year. By the way, I still love the trip. Right. Love the trip.
Fair enough.
I thought the trip was really smart and sharp and funny.
I'm gonna recommend a movie after you talk about Paranormal.
But that was not a recommendation for Heather.
Okay.
And you, it was not a couple recommendation. It was a recommendation.
It was a recommendation to me, and then you know.
I know what you like. Right. I didn't. You weren't.
But when
like,
when something is genuinely good and not quirky and exclusive to certain audiences, my girlfriend will like it. Right. But the trip is that quirky.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
for an acquired
specific,
taste, but whatever. It's a good
it
movie.
Is that specific that yeah, it's hard to like it.
So. All right. What? Oh,
Paranormal Activity 3.
Paranormal Activity 3. We'll okay, this is a movie that was very conflicting to me because I saw it in a theater.
Okay,
and it probably got this is kind of like Goldberg. Okay. In the WCW.
Whoa, okay, go ahead. I'm not sure what your...
Who got a bigger pop at his height than Goldberg?
Goldberg, yeah. He came out...
He got mega pop, right?
Yeah.
He was huge. He was doing the bull charge, and he yeah. was... What was his tackle?
Spear. I think
the
it was
spear.
The spear. And,
yeah, he did the spear, yeah. And when he was on his win streak...
Spear and the jackhammer.
How many did
moves.
He win?
I don't know. They ended up phonying up the number, so there was a legit number for a while.
Yeah,
he won
25 in a row.
Yeah.
Huge pop.
Yeah.
Goldberg, not much of a wrestler.
Okay.
In terms of, from a scientific, and now we're going on really off topic,
nah.
But I'm saying, you know, so you and I would go, well, Arn Anderson was a far better technical
yeah,
wrestler.
Sure he was.
But no excitement, right?
Exactly.
Arn Anderson never came into a ring and people got excited.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Brad Armstrong. He's colorless.
What I'm saying is that Paranormal Activity 3
yeah.
gets the biggest audience pop.
Really?
The hugest reaction. Sure. I saw it with an audience that a couple people almost had heart attacks.
Really?
They were freaked the fuck out by this movie.
Yeah.
They jumped up and down. And it's amazing because people go into this movie knowing that's exactly what the movie's going to
yeah.
do. The movie is this.
Woo! Ah!
That's the movie,
ah!
right?
Ah!
And people, that's they fucking scream.
You better run, bitch. He gonna kill you.
That is exactly it. At one
that's
point,
what people do in
at one point, and this is a movie, by the way, that's like it involves a lot of silence.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of times for people
sure.
to sit there and go
yeah.
say stupid stuff. This one woman goes, "If she ain't coming to y'all, she ain't with y'all." Right. And there's like a. It was the greatest thing.
I almost want to talk about Family Feud some more now that you're doing
God,
Black People.
I know.
It's the most outrageous show. But we're going on movies.
This show's
movies.
So stupid.
Family Feud is just...
It's so
it's,
stupid.
I got it. Something's got to be done. I don't know if it's Congress needs to intervene, but something's got to be done with the new Family Feud.
Send in SEAL Team 6.
Somebody...
Or SEAL Team 7.
Somebody got to stop.
SEAL Team 6 got wiped out.
Even Steve Harvey's got to go. You know, this shit's ridiculous.
Well,
you know, even Steve Harvey, I don't
Steve
think can
Harvey
endorse
Steve Harvey pretends
the
that
family
everything's
feud.
Offensive to
but
him.
He can't believe that someone said, what
right.
is something you put in your mouth but don't swallow? And the woman said sperm. This is exactly what I saw on Family Feud the other night. This is exactly the thing. And the woman said sperm, and Steve couldn't believe it. It was shocking. It's like Jerry Springer when the people fight. He's like, oh, my God, I had
know.
No idea.
That is the biggest.
What happened to my show?
He
I was going to do a nice conversation
like,
between people.
You know,
and then they start to fight. They.
What's something you don't do in front of a lady? Fart?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There was one.
Oh, then, Lord, you didn't say that.
Something I'm not making. I wish I was making these yeah. up. Name something you bend over to do. And of course, you know, somebody said you bend over to tie
sure,
your shoe.
Right.
That was the number
right.
one answer. Eventually, somebody said to have sex, and it was on the
yeah,
and it was
exactly.
on the board.
But I know they load the deck. They ask these questions like,
I mean, they're ridiculous.
What is the warmest spot of the human body?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then people go, well, I think it's pussy.
Yeah, right.
it, yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
I mean, but these are legitimate, and it's not like I'm watching every Family Feud for weeks on end to come up with these. I've watched Family Feud, the new Family Feud, about three times.
I know, and that's what
that's what's on.
But that's how it's a dumb.
It's called
show.
Family Feud. I mean, it's like I'm not a guy that's all for Christians and family entertainment. I don't care. You can put you know gushing pussies at 8 p.m. on NBC. I'm fine with that. But when you call it the Family Feud,
I think they're shooting the pilot for next season.
That was what Whitney was supposed to be called.
Gushing pussies.
But you know what? It's Family Goddamn Feud. You shouldn't do it on there. It's not the Playboy Family Feud.
See,
it's the Family Feud.
I know. See, the bit is that in the 70s, those shows had winking kind of innuendo.
Yeah.
And if that happened accidentally,
sure.
that was everybody's favorite moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If some guy said something ridiculous, yeah. and Richard Dawson would be like,
yeah.
Now it's cooked up. The books are cooked.
Yeah.
So that's all they do.
It's like they're working it, sort of. They're faking it to get to that. They're faking the question to get to the...
No one under 60 cares this much about Family Feud.
I'm telling you, it's outrageous. How this isn't the number one lead story in the New York Times, I've never been more outraged about the new fan.
Now you're acting like Steve Harvey.
No, it's ridiculous. What has this show become? What is the? I mean, is it not?
What's the something you don't want to smell in the bathroom?
But,
you know, it's really it's.
But I mean, the show existed in one form or another for 30, 35 years. Just doing, you know, something you keep in your wallet that's right. not money, you know, mm-hmm. even that has condom. I mean, even that you can,
sure.
but I mean, like, but people just can't, you know, name something.
You know why, Joel? Because people are stupider.
Yeah.
Because there's no bookstores.
Name something
they got fucking Kindles.
That might have a free sample at the grocery store. And we based a whole show around that.
All right.
We all based a whole show about name a color a boy's bedroom is likely to be painted. And people sat there and they watched it and they loved it. But now we can't even do that anymore.
Well, you know why? Because you have this wonderful digital media universe of endless options.
No.
And they got to try harder to compete.
Because people watch
Family Feud because there were five channels and you had nothing else to goddamn watch.
The new Family Feud, and you've seen it and you've talked about it. I've talked to your girlfriend about the new Family
yes.
Feud. When I saw her, I was like, have you seen this new Family? And she's like, yeah, I can't believe what they're doing on Family Feud.
We watched it and talked about
and
it.
And me and my girlfriend will watch it.
I got a bit about
together.
It.
It's the most outrageous thing I've ever. I mean, it's not the most outrageous because like you look at it and you go, okay, it's Family Feud. Click, switch to the next channel. But then they just.
Are you really this upset about the Family Feud?
I'm shocked that this is the. I mean,
no,
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm shocked about is when people pass instead of play. I really
that is dumb. That is very stupid. But you
why
know,
would you do that?
It's not. You know.
I think that you should be outraged and shocked that the white guys they're rigging it so they lose.
Oh, that the black people win? No, I find that the white people are better than the black people on Family Feud.
Is it?
But,
by the way, you'll never.
It's
see,
almost always whites against blacks.
You will never see two white families on Family Feud.
No, that's out. They got rid of that too. Yeah.
I'm almost at a point where you're not going to see a white family. They do. It's a white family and a black family every time.
For a while, there was the champions were a roller an all female. There was a female roller derby team, but then there was like one dude on.
Well, they went back to families because. On the John Harley era, it was stuff like that. It was like, it was
construction workers
bowling,
versus postmen.
Bowling teams and wrestlers and all. It was all kinds of wacky junk. Yeah. Now it's back to families. But can I ask this?
Yeah.
What's a woo got to do to get on that show?
When's
the last time a Chang?
Because you know what?
Right?
They don't have five family members that can speak English. They got some grandma that's right off the boat. You know, she's been in America for 40 years.
Why you gotta
but
be
she
like
still
that?
Acts like she's from Okinawa.
I'm just saying, because you'll not see an Asian family on there. Because the Asian family will try and answer the question.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go.
And you can't
think it's the booty. I think it's the booty, Steve.
And you can't have Mexicans because they can't have 20 people on a team.
Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. I'm just saying, if there's an Asian family on... I'll be monitoring for an Asian family.
We got a monitor. It is our job now to be. We will now be the official monitors of all content on Family Feud.
610
The racial breakdown.
0746
And the content
tell us the
of the
most
question.
Offensive part of the new Family Feud was Steve Harvey.
Right. I mean, you know.
It's silly.
Name a food that babies eat. That was the question for 40 fucking years.
Who gets polled by this? Like who?
Exactly.
I want to know.
Because Stevie even said one.
I've never gotten a poll.
Steve even said that once. He goes, "What mall are they in?" Asking like, who's answering that? You know.
I know every question, every answer. Steve.
There's always like some.
He does a bit. He does a routine.
Yeah.
He paces around. He puts on the like frowny face, like he just smelled a fart.
Right.
And he go,
Right.
No, you didn't.
I would go say that in front of your
grandma. Oh, no.
Your grandma standing right next to you.
Oh, he's talking
like
about pussy hairs on the television.
Yeah, I mean.
That's your mama. You going to talk about your dick juice in the
new Family Feud, I'm telling you, is absolutely, it is an outrage.
Is it on?
Everybody
it's on
at 7 o'clock, so it's a couple hours away. Quickly, movie reviews. I saw this. This was on PBS. Okay. But I'm surprised it was on PBS because I thought maybe something would happen with this. But the Cameron Crowe Pearl Jam documentary.
Oh, yeah, Pearl Jam 20.
Pearl Jam 20 was real good. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
No.
Yeah, it was real good because I don't know if they had even done it.
It was supposed to get a theatrical release.
I thought they might have done it. Would have put it at the main for a week or something, but they didn't.
It got shit canned.
It was on American Masters on PBS last Friday.
Yeah.
It was real good.
So
check that out. If you like rock documentaries, it was really good.
Sure, we're checking.
You don't
out.
Even have to be a Pearl Jam. See, I think a good documentary, it doesn't. You know, a good documentary doesn't even matter who the subject is.
I'll tell you.
I mean, some people care more because it's somebody they like.
I'll tell you a really fun documentary I just saw a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
And it's the perfect length. It's like 87 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a documentary called Thunder Soul.
All right.
About this, it was like a high school band mm-hmm. in Houston, Texas. And the band director had been there for 30 years, but he started hearing James Brown records, so he started teaching them how to play funk.
No, oh, okay.
And they became like this tight, crazy. They put out records, they won contests, right. They toured the world, and that was really fun. It was a really good documentary. And you're right; it's about a subject matter.
Yeah, you don't need to know about
you
it.
You don't need to know.
About it. I mean, I'm not a huge Pearl Jam guy, but I like the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly recommend it. There's been a lot of good. First of all, that's the new thing for bands to do, by the way. If you
make
have any heritage. Is tonight even like Kings of Leon made a documentary, which was pretty cool. It was different from a lot of documentaries. The Pearl Jam documentary, I mean the Kings of Leon documentary, Tallahena Sky,
mm-hmm.
that was really good because you could see all their inbred relatives and stuff. And they go and play horseshoes with them, and they
remember the first time we saw those guys.
We
were doing these impressions afterwards. Those very like these church boys that was grown up in Tennessee.
And there's footage from back that era, too. Yeah. It's cool. It was a cool movie. But this was
real good. From Tennessee or Georgia or something?
They're from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Via Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee. They're from Oklahoma, but their dad moved around. I think they got their music career launched in Nashville.
Because
I think their mom moved there. But I believe they're from Oklahoma originally. But their mom moved to Tennessee, and that's where
I went and saw Sebado last night.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of old shit.
Speaking of a band that needs a documentary.
Well, you know what? Why not? I mean, you know.
That was like half. That room was like half full.
What was it?
Was it the Magic Stick?
Oh, really? Only half full?
I've seen other acts of comparable.
Sure.
From that era that were my favorite bands 20 years ago. Like Superchunk.
But.
We saw Superchunk.
No, I'll tell you when last time we saw Superchunk. Because probably last time. When did you see him last?
A couple years ago.
Did you not see them the night after we went to the Strokes and then we went to the Superchunk show?
Is that what we did?
We did. We went from the Strokes, who were touring This
but
Is It.
I remember that being. I remember that being pretty full, right?
No.
No?
No, it was not a big. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it's a small club, but well, remember us also going, well, this was the past and the Strokes were the present.
There's all these 90s. Sort of there's all these 90s right. bands out there touring on their like 20-year reunion tours.
Yeah, there is.
But Sebado, I felt bad for those guys. I love those guys.
But they also, maybe they wasn't that big because they never really broke up, that they always sort of were around, right? I mean, how big of a break did they ever take?
Yeah, they took a couple years off.
But
you're
not,
right.
You
they
know,
never, yeah.
It wasn't like Pavement where they were fucking completely gone and then came
and
back.
And Sebado was never that big.
Right.
Actually, he told the story of how they had a song that cost their label thousands that was supposed to be their big hit.
Oh, really?
And they did the 89X birthday bash. And
yeah.
Like, it was a big MTV video and
right.
it tanked. He got famous from like Folk Implosion.
Yeah, Folk Implosion. That was their
biggest
song.
But anyway, but I went and saw that and I went, these guys, I'm like, wow, I know they never had the biggest following.
Yeah.
But I thought they could
have
done
better.
That's
a little disappointing because that's a small club, and that's something.
You think they could fill a small club at least, you know, but whatever.
But you know what, again, fans get older and they got kids and, you know.
And in fact, several of my friends from the old days were there that would have been at the show in 1995.
Right.
But several of them also said, no, I can't go, I got the babies.
But see, if they had actually disappeared. They might now. Did they not draw young people who were just interested in seeing them?
They did
not,
some. They did some.
Because I'll tell you, when I went to Pavement,
a lot of young.
It was all young. Yeah, I was not a lot. I was an old fart at Pavement.
Yeah,
and I go and like none of those people had seen Pavement that were at the Pavement show.
I'll tell you what.
In Columbus,
Pavement
Ohio.
Is a bigger deal now.
Yeah.
Than they were then.
Sure, because they went away though too. That they didn't make a string of bad records. Like Sebado made bad. Whatever, you know. Sebado made records that went.
Right,
popularity
sure.
wise, went mm-hmm. down, and Pavement was sort of at their apex when they broke up. So,
I guess. Yeah, maybe a little trail. Little on the Taylor trail, Twilight but still, trail a little bit.
But well, it's like the Beatles, you know, they went down
when was the
a
last
notch.
Pavement record, 97?
99. Yeah, 99, and then they toured in 2010.
So they had a good decade of not
Pixies
being around.
Pixies did the same thing, yeah.
And they had a good decade of not being around, and everybody on Earth, every rock critic, reevaluating and going, well, Pavement was the best.
Yeah.
And that helped young guys show up. Yeah. Sabado has not gotten that talk.
Well, maybe.
Even though at the time they were a fairly big band.
Maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't for them. But, you know, it's one thing.
No, Lou Barlow was selling his own shirts.
Was he? Well, you know, but there's a theory, and I think speaking of old bands now, but I believe Wayne Coyne from Flaming Lips said, you know, if you just stick around long enough, eventually
it'll come around.
Yeah, he's like Wayne's like, you know, we toured for a long time and we could have broken up and you know, we changed members 8,000 times and stuff, and then, you know, eventually
they got big for a minute.
You know, yeah. I mean, eventually people find you and they're very popular now.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're making their best records, but it's not correlated to the amount of people that go. People hear it's a good show,
right,
and you get that word of mouth and then people stick around.
They were all Flaming Lips were always a good live band.
Yeah.
Some of these bands were not.
Right.
Pavement was not the best live.
They
band.
Had their good days and their bad days.
Yeah,
but I tell you, their Reformation tour was like the best playing, like just in a technical sense. And
yeah,
their equipment was good, and you know, stuff like that. They'd really, you know, they were more seasoned and it helped the show, I think too.
Yeah, I saw a lot of erratic shows from them.
But you also like when guys are young, they're getting loaded on the road.
Oh God!
And so you know what I mean. When you guys are in their 30s. And they're traveling with their kids and stuff.
Pavement,
not...
I remember, like,
there were some drunks.
Spiral Stairs could barely walk. Yeah. Scott Canterbury.
Yeah, they would get.
They were shit.
They would get drunk, and then you do it later, and you're more professional about it, and maybe it makes for better music. You know. Yeah.
What were we talking about? How awful the Family Scourge.
We're talking about Pearl Jam 20, but you know. So I think that's a great movie.
Did you see Prohibition?
No, my girlfriend watched some of it and said it was okay.
Yeah,
she said,
I still think baseball is his best documentary, but. It was good. It was interesting.
I said, you know what? I'm not going to be able to chisel out 5 hours or whatever it was that week. I'm not going to let it rot on my DVR
for
a month and
about,
go, like, one day I'll get to this because I'm just like...
The other thing about Ken Burns stuff, it'll come around.
It's everything's on. It's
they'll,
on right
they'll
now.
They'll run it again.
And it's on. I have Netflix. I got all ways to see it now. I'm good. They released it on Blu-ray the next week. It wasn't like you can't get it.
I'll tell you what, it's worth checking out.
Is it okay?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching Boardwalk Empire, which I know that they... I don't know if they timed it to run at the same time, but Boardwalk Empire is all about Prohibition, even though it's fictionalized. But
speaking of timing, In Time with Justin Timberlake.
Can I just do one more rock doc, Deck?
Oh, yeah.
Just real quickly. Foo Fighters movie.
Oh, yeah.
Back and forth, the Foo Fighters movies. Great.
Really?
Great. So, and I saw that a few months ago. And that was a thing that like ran in a theater for like a night.
Mm-hmm.
They had a night, like Tuesday, someday. If you went to the theater, you could show it there, and that was great.
Yeah.
That was on Palladia, which is on cable. That's where I saw that. So you may still be able to see that. That's great, too. I mean, that's all from my era. That's all stuff that I was a young man when those things were.
Yes.
Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters.
Flinty.
And those bands and came around. Okay.
You know, in my day, Joel.
In Time. You
I saw Pearl Jam open up for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I did too.
Smashing
I was at
Pumpkins.
That show. Yes,
anyway.
It was a great show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of timing,
yeah.
which was totally accidental.
Yes.
Completely incidental.
Right.
In Time.
In Time.
Which is the premise of In Time is that it's a future society in which people are genetically engineered to stop aging at 25 unless they get more time, which is like their currency.
Right.
So
you have to earn it.
You earn more time. You work and you earn more time.
Okay.
But what happens is that the poor people have a revolt because they realize that they're working day to day and they're only getting a couple hours at a time and the rich people are hoarding time.
Wow.
And No, it really, you know, everybody sat there and went and Debbie Schlossel went, this is like Occupy Wall Street. And I'm like, well, you know, they shot this thing a year and a half ago. They probably wrote it 4 years ago, but, you know, or longer.
Right.
But it just coincidentally happened to
come
out.
Well, this could have been written in the 1940s for all. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's
Orwellian.
Like, it's not like people have not had a interest in, you know, economic disparity in the past. But this just seemed to come out at exactly the right moment.
Right.
So that was a curious sort of
well,
happenstance. But the movie's not that good. It's a chase movie.
It's
That
it looks bad to
here's
me.
Here's the payoff. Here's the one funny scene in the whole movie. I'll spoil the whole thing.
Go ahead. Spoil it.
The guy,
spoil me.
You know, one of the rich guys goes, hey, this is my mother-in-law, my wife, and my daughter. And they look like the same girl. Like, wow. They're the same age. Because everybody stops aging at
25. Because everyone stops aging. And then,
there you go. Punchline.
Hey!
Amanda Seyfried is hot as hell.
She's hot.
Could not act.
See, I'm not sure on her. I haven't seen her in enough to know if she can act at all. Because I don't think Scarlett Johansson can act. And I know you disagree with me on that. I think Scarlett Johansson's the worst.
Scarlett Johansson.
And I think Amanda Seyfried is sort of Scarlett Johansson light. And I, you know, so.
You know, I liked Amanda Seyfried when she was on Big Love.
Yeah.
And I have not liked her much since. So I don't know what the problem is.
I feel like she's getting those roles that Scarlett Johansson is too old for now or something. You know what I mean? I feel like she's sort of that.
Yeah, that's. I guess Scarlett's been priced up.
Scarlett's
into a different
30
market.
Now or something, and so she's not doing that anymore.
She's going to stink up the Avengers.
She's going to stink up the Avengers.
You know what? She was really. But see,
she's
like.
Be so bad.
You know what? Scarlett Johansson's kind of a case of if the right director comes along, she can be used effectively.
Right. Yeah.
She's pretty bad on her own devices, but like. Lost in Translation, she worked well in that context.
Well, that was almost like the first movie that. I mean, she was in other things, but.
Yeah,
Ghost, that was the first time people.
She was in Ghost
People
World.
Saw her in Lost in Translation and saw her as a star for the first time.
Yeah, but I don't think she can carry a movie on her own.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, that's Bill Murray's movie.
Yeah,
she's not okay. She worked well in that.
I saw Amanda Seyfried on Leno last night, and
yeah,
she wasn't any better on a couch than she is. And
ah,
she was good in Chloe.
Well, she was
taking her, getting her tits out.
That's right,
in her ace. You got to see Chloe, everybody.
Hall of Famer Julianne
Moore. By the way, that was a movie that you recommended that I took my girlfriend to the theater to see. And I kind of got away with it, but I thought it was going to be there was some fighting before in the movie.
Again, I recommended it to you.
Yeah, I know.
For different reasons.
I know, but I was
then
like,
I recommended it to Heather.
It was like a night there was nothing out, and I said, you want to go over to the Birmingham 8 and see this? It was like a Sunday night, and I go, if you want to see this movie, Chloe, it's kind of the most interesting thing playing. And it had Liam Neeson and Julianne Moore.
It's not an awful movie.
It gave some gravitas to it, but it's a cheap, it's a Lifetime movie with big stars, sort of.
With better production.
Yeah, and tits. So, anyway. Okay. In Time, is that Puss in Boots? Any reason to...
Unless you're going to have a baby in the next
four hours. Okay, so
you know what? Puss in Boots was more tolerable than a lot of kids'
movies.
Was
it like better than Shrek because of it was less...
It wasn't better than the first Shrek, but it was fine. It was... You know what I mean? Look, when you see shit like the Smurfs, there's really bad kids' movies.
Terrible.
This
stuff.
One was, you know, it was watchable, enjoyable. Okay. It was fine. It was It was okay.
Mm.
The Rum Diary.
Oh, Rum Diary. Yeah, we
kind of a hot
that.
Mess.
Was it? Yeah, it looks interesting, but yeah, it doesn't look good.
It's got probably a half dozen great scenes.
Yeah,
it's got great moments in it. But Johnny Depp is probably a decade and a half too old for the part. Because here's the thing. It's like Hunter S. Thompson's first novel.
Uh-huh.
But Johnny Depp already went and did Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Which was...
the same character
the same
later.
Character,
yeah.
10 years older. Mm-hmm. But he did that 10 years ago. So you figure that math out, right? So he's now playing like... He's 45 playing a guy who's supposed to be 24.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. They could have cast somebody else in it, but... It wouldn't have gotten
but
made.
But he's the guy who had to put his...
It wouldn't have gotten made without Johnny made Depp. And so that's... but I will tell you that Amber Heard is a top shelf.
Amber Heard is real hot.
Piece
and,
of talent. What a chunker.
I don't know what she does in this movie.
I'd like to see Steve Harvey discuss
that. It's PG-13,
that.
Though. She's not naked.
No, but she does... They do a little underwear wrestling.
Well, do
she's
they?
Like partially...
She's real hot, but
there's
I mean...
There's a little
I,
side action going on.
Yeah,
there.
But... Yeah. No, the one who can't act, probably.
Doesn't have to do a lot of acting
doesn't
in this
have
movie.
To do
she's really just like the hot girl. They
You're
both...
the hot chick.
No, they like lust after her, and she's good at that.
Right, I lust after her. Seductive. I'm fine with that. She's a lesbian, but I don't care.
Well,
there's time. There's time to change.
Speaking of lesbians, Lindsay Lohan and Playboy.
Well, yeah, first of all, let's just say this. I'm going to ask you a question, yes or no. Are you buying the Lindsay Lohan Playboy? He's thinking. His brow is furrowed. Are you buying the Lindsay Lohan Playboy?
That's speaking of the digital economy, that's one thing.
Yeah, but I'm asking, are you buying it, yes or no?
Maybe.
Yes or no?
No.
No, I'm not buying it either, so I think Playboy's wasting
their
money.
Don't get me wrong, I have at times Yeah. Bought issues
I know
of
you
Playboy.
Have. I've seen you show up with the Belinda Carlisle Playboy, yeah. Like, hey, look at this, Joel. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
No, I have at times bought issues of Playboy because a celebrity was in it.
Name the recent Playboy celebrities that you bought, celebrity Playboy.
I can't think of anything in the last year or so.
You didn't buy the you didn't buy the girl from Wilson Phillips. What was her name?
Shyna Phillips?
No, the fat girl.
Oh, that was...
You didn't buy the Carney
Wilson?
That
was like 5 years ago.
But you didn't buy that one?
I think I bought that one.
See, I'm trying... I know you bought the Belinda Carlisle, because I barely knew you then.
No, I bought...
And you bought the Belinda
Carlisle.
Yeah,
but I would...
Did you buy the Debbie Gibson or the Tiffany?
I think I did. I
bought both?
I think I have both. I know for a fact I bought Tiffany.
Okay.
I think I was living over on St. Louis back then.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's when I met you. You were living over on St. Louis.
Yeah. No, but that was like everybody in the house wanted to see it.
Everyone wanted that. And probably internet, even if you could see it wouldn't be a good
version.
Oh,
you know, I was probably working at the bookstore.
Yeah, okay.
I was probably working at Borders.
Oh, okay. You just grabbed it.
It came in the shop.
Yeah,
and
you went like, yoink, in the bag, yeah.
And then my coworkers looked at me like a skunk. You know, I might not have bought the Playboy at work because they would all go.
No, I don't care, and I think, look, she's clearly desperate for money.
Yeah.
And to get $1 million, who can blame her for doing it? But like you were saying before the show, she's been naked in New York Magazine or whatever, one of these.
And you know what?
Did topless. No. You can see them on the internet.
Will I buy it? No. Will
she's
I,
got big old tits.
Will
I'm
I look?
I'll look.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, but I mean, Lindsay Lohan, it's...
I'm going to... Oh, hey, speaking of news, I haven't seen it yet, but...
I'd rather see Winona Ryder naked than see...
Well, wouldn't
that,
we all?
You know, yeah.
Speaking of naked, maybe, I know when Winona Ryder is 15 years older than her.
Winona Ryder is 42 or something. Yeah. And I'd still rather see her naked.
Because
she never gave up the goods.
She get little glimpses, but
little,
not,
yeah,
not,
but
the,
not
full
the full
shebang.
Never saw the whole
speaking
thing.
Of somebody who showed the whole shebang.
Who's that?
Haven't seen the movie yet, but Kiki Dunst in Melancholia.
Yeah, I believe that's coming out this very soon on home video.
Now, so. I hate Lars von Trier.
Do you?
I hate that guy.
It's some pretentious bullshit, yeah.
When a film critic goes, I hate, you're too pretentious. When a guy
yeah,
who loved...
Right. When you... Yeah.
When a guy who loved Michael Winterbottom movies, when I find you pretentious, you're a real douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he did a movie where Charlotte Gainsbourg... Anyway, I'm not going to...
Yeah, it's fine.
But awful. I
Nobody
hate
cares.
Lars von Trier.
I didn't see
but
the movie.
Lars von Trier can't make a movie without Bryce Dallas Howard, naked as a Jaybird.
Yeah.
In
what was that movie?
That was Dogtown. No, not Dog. Which one was it?
I don't even know. I stopped caring about Lars. Whenever he put Bjork in the movie...
That was Dancer in the Dark.
That was Dancer in the Dark. I think people checked out on him at that point, right? Or then he did something with Nicole Kidman. Or so, I don't
That's
know what
the
he,
one everybody got upset
that's
about.
That's the one everyone got mad about.
He did a movie about...
People stopped taking him seriously.
He did a movie without sets. He did a movie He did a movie where there were no sets.
Yeah.
There were chalk outlines that yeah. said, like, house. Yeah. And there was, you know...
Excuse me. Hold on a second. Stop for a second. Hey, Lars von Trier, go fuck yourself. Put that out. So it would be unfettered.
I hate that song.
Yeah,
bitch.
Just fuck you. Fuck you.
I declared myself Lars von Trier.
I like
free.
Art. I like pop art. But go fuck you with those movies. I'm not watching those.
Now, he's a Dutch piece of shit who hates America but has never been here. Was it Manderley?
I don't even know.
There
man.
Was Dogville.
Corey's looking up the IMDb on Lars von Trier.
Yeah, Manderley. That's the one with Bryce Dallas Howard naked.
Manderley.
Firecrotch.
See where you can find that.
I'll tell
know
you what,
you can find
I'm
that.
Happy for that. Good for yeah. you. He gets girls naked, and I give him the credit
he
for
does.
That.
He does.
But he's such a prick.
Yeah, I anyway. Don't care about him.
So
what else we got?
But, yeah.
Oh, Halloween costumes. You got any good ones? I mean, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of dead Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Guessing it's gonna be...
I'm going to go as... Disinterested boyfriend. That's going to be my Halloween
Well, that's pretty good.
I'm sorry.
Well, girlfriend is what? What is? Do you know what it
this is?
This is.
You want to talk about?
Do you know what the girlfriend is
you think,
already?
You think? No, she's still putting it together. You think the trip was a fight in your house?
Yeah.
This Halloween is a fight in our
where,
house.
Where do you got to go?
We're going to something on Friday.
You're invited to a party.
We're actually going to something with the Brewskis with Jim and Heather.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know she's going
to... Oh, you better be dressed to the nines.
Yeah, I know.
Because Jimmy's outfit, she's been sewing since July. That hen. She's
yeah,
been
I know.
Sitting around
I
sewing
know.
Jimmy's fucking rooster costume or whatever they're going to be.
Well, look, this is a girl that puts costumes on her cat.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
you know that she's
going to
dress him
Nobody
up.
Even knows who this is, so let's move on. But what is your girl... You don't know what your girlfriend's doing? But you're going to a house party that in
well, no, we're going to some show with something at a concert venue or something.
Oh, some
anyway,
club. Okay.
We're going to some party.
Yeah.
just because she's been up my ass. I don't think we did anything last year.
Really?
And I could give a fuck about Halloween.
Yeah. I know what you mean, yes.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Like, and I know this sounds, again, contradictory information, because I just talked shit about all the technology that I love, but I'm going to go home and play my Xbox, and I'm going to download digital content, you know. Yeah. I'm going to get Arkham Asylum, and then
I'm going to go on my DVR and watch a show.
Right, sure. I DVR shit.
I've got Comcast Xbox. Cable.
I know. I'm specific.
With 8,000
I have Xfinity
channels, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Like Xfinity.
No, I know. I'll go buy Arkham Asylum, and then I'll download the Robin and Catwoman packs.
There you go.
You know, all that shit. But
I have to play with the skin from the animated series,
because
but you can only play with the skin on your second playthrough if you don't go to the second playthrough. So I'm going to wait and hope that these skins are on sale.
They'll put them
in
all
a pack
out.
And then I'll get those.
You really just have to wait.
Believe me, I listen to podcasts where guys are bitching about the amount of, there you go. Speaking of,
I didn't turn my phone off.
Yeah,
All right.
Let me just, I think another good costume is going to be Dead Gaddafi. I think that's going to be big.
Yeah.
They say Charlie Sheen is big, and in fact, he licensed himself to Halloween USA or one of these national chains. There's an official Charlie
Dead
Sheen
Dead Charlie
costume.
Sheen, that's going to be a big one.
I got mine. This is what I would be.
Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse is good if you're a chick, because dads are always dead.
Well, there were girls dressed as Amy Winehouse 2 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
So I think zombie Amy Winehouse is appropriate.
Here's what I would be, and not everyone would get it, and you might not even get it. The guy with half a face from Boardwalk Empire.
Oh.
Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
The guy got his face shut off.
He's got that mask and the glasses that connects it perfect. It's the fun. But no one would know who you are. I mean, unless they're a Boardwalk Empire fan.
Yeah.
Which is a big show, but it's still not that good. So.
Well,
that's what I would be.
I'm going to be the guy who's dragged kicking and screaming to some. I just, you know, here's the thing. We got in a big fight over karaoke the other day.
Oh.
Or a couple weeks ago.
Let me guess. You wanted to go and the girl. No, I'm kidding.
No. We went and met like some of her former coworkers from her old job.
Where'd you go?
And we've hung out with these people a few times, and I like them. They're cool, and you know, mm-hmm. I mean, the girl was in a Pavement cover band in high school.
Okay,
she's a nice girl. But we went to, they were like, oh, come and meet us over at this bar, and it was some bar over in Ferndale, but not in, you know, it was on Hilton. So I already went. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's like some old dumpy old man.
The Werolo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I
went.
Know what that is?
I went. I would never go to this bar.
Yeah.
I'm a snob. I understand that. Yeah. But I'd never go to this bar.
Sure.
There's no circumstances where I'd think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Never going to this bar. We show up. It's fucking carry. Like, the Tigers game was
sure.
on.
Sure, yeah.
The Tigers were playing, but then as soon as the Tigers game was over, it was karaoke
Yeah, blue-collar karaoke is not fun.
I hate it.
Yeah. I've been to karaoke, and I've performed karaoke, but the audiences for it can be bad to where guys stand up and sing country songs all night.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, oh,
it was
fuck.
It was a lot of 60-year-old ladies singing Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, You're Cheating Heart. And then I swear to God, Joel, this is what happened.
All the Tammy Wynette You Can Take in One Night is being sung at karaoke.
Then, but this was the crazy. They had a book like this thick.
Sure. Yeah.
They had everything in the book. Guy gets up and does Master of Puppets.
Hey, fuck you.
All 8 minutes.
Fuck you.
Eight goddamn
I'm out.
Damn
I'm
minutes.
Out. Give me my
I
check.
Know.
I'm out.
I know.
I'm out to do it.
But I'm the asshole. And I'm sitting here going, no human enjoys this.
Yeah.
There's a guy screaming,
you know,
Master of Puppets for eight minutes.
If James Hetfield stood up there and did it, I would have walked out the door. You know what I mean? There's nothing.
I mean, fuck a bunch of Metallica to begin with, but I'm not going to hear some fucking roofer from Hazel Park in there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Doing Master Puppets.
That's the problem with karaoke.
And then some old fuck goes up and does Margaritaville. And I'm like, I hate these songs when they were done originally.
Yeah, if Jimmy Buffett was doing this, I'd punch him in the face.
Why would I have any interest in coming and listening to this shit done by fucking drunk steelworkers? I don't. It's the worst thing. And the girls all go, but it's fun. Why don't you have a spirit of fun? And I go, first. And they're like, well, you're the worst because you won't get up and perform. And I go, no, I'll get up and perform, but where's my money?
Yeah, well, like, that's like, part of it. I
see
that.
If you're a professional entertainer, which I sort of am, I got gigs this month.
Once in a while, you're a professional.
I'm working all this month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have no desire to go up and perform in a bar for old people, right?
Right.
Because, you know, first of all, you're in a terrible position because you look at it and you go, well, there's a microphone. I could just entertain these people better than what's going on right now. but it's not about me, and I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
And you got to sit there, and the girls all look at you like, why are you going to be an asshole about it? Why don't
you get
like
the same
karaoke?
Thing when I go to karaoke.
I hate it.
It depends. You know, again, karaoke to me is fun depending upon the bar. Little Sneakers up here in Ferndale is okay on Thursday night for karaoke. It's not terrible.
Yeah,
I
know.
Went to a guy's, like, a guy. My girlfriend's friend was having his birthday. And so we had sort of the back of the bar to ourselves. There was like 30 of us. So everyone was going to sing. So I got up and did a song. I did Are You Gonna Be My Girl from Jet. I can do anything that's on Rock Band because I'll sing. If I sing it on Rock Band, I figure I can see it. You just yell in that song.
Sure.
Anyway. So I'll do that. I'll do a Beatles song. I'll do Get Back or something. I'll do something that's not too hard. And well, I do it pretty well. But again, I don't want to get up because it wouldn't go over with people that are up there singing, you know, Crystal Gale or some kind of bullshit. It's not.
It's dreadful.
Yeah. What did she want to sing? Did she sing or did she,
They sang and they did like It's My Party or what? I don't know. Whatever. They did like Leslie Gore. Look, but the worst part about this was I was not told it was karaoke to begin with.
You were rooked.
I was rooked.
I was brought in,
and that's just gonna put me in a bad mood. And it's like Diet Coke. I don't get it. It's for chicks.
It's for chicks. Karaoke is like, you know, to me, it's contextually entertaining. In certain elements, I get why it's fun. When you're amongst friends, it's fun. When you're amongst strangers, it's just a bunch of douchey
now,
people.
Now, look, I should know better because
it's a bunch of people who can't sing.
Probably the first year we were dating.
It's Amy, open mic comedy.
I know.
For singers.
But the first year we were dating, I think Amy had a birthday party, like a karaoke birthday party.
Yeah.
So I should probably know this. I should know better and just suck it up and take it and be a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
But I fucking hate it.
Yeah, hate it too.
It's almost impossible
I've
for
been
me
in the same exact
to
boat.
Sit through a karaoke situation and not have a puss on my face.
Well,
pickled puss.
There is a place. I know there's one, and it's downriver in Detroit, so I've never been to it. But they do have these places that are specific karaoke bars, and you can put on an outfit and go out there and sing, and they have a whole light show. And you can grab a guitar and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, is that better for you or
no? Again, next week I'm going to play for 400
you
people.
You are, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, and actually,
I'm playing for theoretically 400 people this weekend at the Comedy Castle, and then Corey's there next weekend, but yeah.
I mean, if we had a full house, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
Which you may not have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play for 400 over the whole weekend.
Yeah, for the course of the weekend. You know. If you add it all up.
Oh, over 1,000 probably.
Yeah, the Comedy Castle is a great. It's still the best place to play.
I mean, those
for a weekend.
They're never empty, and particularly now. It's if you're in the summer, it might be empty. But anyway, we'll have a good. I'll play for people, and I'll entertain them, and I'll be a performer. That's no reason I want to go in and work with a body shop guy and sing a.
Yeah.
The guy did Master of Puppets.
I'm with you,
Joel. He did Master of Puppets.
That's bullshit.
I'll tell you what.
If I'm running the karaoke, I just cross that out of the book.
First of all, why do you have that
in
the
book? Yeah, you should just go, you know what? I don't have that.
Yeah,
that's the other thing about karaoke. The guy running it is very important to the show. You don't realize that. It's important that the karaoke guy be good.
That's true.
That if the karaoke guy's no good, it's no good.
Hey, the same thing goes for bar trivia. The quizmaster.
Corey's the quizmaster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're playing that again.
We're playing it. We're in a league.
All right.
We're in seventh place.
You know what? You think I would like that because I do like trivia and I like stuff, but my feeling is why do I need to do that in public? And, you know, I don't feel the need to compete against people in that.
Well,
I mean, I know there's money and that's interesting. You know, that would not make, you know, that's not bad. But
you know what? It's a certain level, it's lame. And first of all, I kind of think it's too easy.
Is it?
Like, I kind of want hard trivia.
Because when it's too easy, anyone can win.
Here's the problem. That's what it is it's just hard enough that we're always going to be in the top three.
Sure.
We'll never be less than... If we do less than top three, good night. But what happens is they play this stupid thing. Now I'm getting into a whole bunch of...
We'll
just wrap up the show.
Quizzo Politics with Corey Hall.
Forget it.
All right, quickly before we go, Patrice O'Neill had a stroke. I know he was... 500 pounds, but we love Patrice O'Neill.
Diabetic and a big guy, but a very funny guy.
Funny dude, so we hope he gets better. And Andy Rooney, who just signed off on 60 Minutes.
He's about to sign off.
Apparently, now we're talking before show. We think he was having, he had some medical procedure and he had complications. We're guessing he probably knew he was having this procedure and he may not make it. And so that's why he signed off 60 Minutes or something.
Right.
So, you know. So good. I mean, I like Andy Rooney as much as, you know, getting the old cranks off television is nice, but, you know.
When
yeah,
is
I'm
the,
kind of an Andy Rooney fan.
So. Andy was is 92.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So Godspeed.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Patrice is a real bummer because he's a guy probably.
Yeah, and his comics dying.
In his 40s, comics are dying.
He's not dead, but I don't know. I think
he
it's,
had a massive stroke and
I think
it doesn't look
it
good.
It doesn't look good for
and
Patrice.
And he had, you know, he's a big, giant diabetic.
Yeah,
so
that's too bad.
Maybe I will be Salad Boy next week. It'll be nothing but salads from here on out. I'm saying all these comics that, and I didn't actually meet, I'd never met Patrice.
I never met Patrice either, which
but
is too
it feels
bad.
Like, I know he was familiar with his
yeah,
work.
Yeah, familiar
it
with
it feels like
and,
a loss
yeah,
in the family,
yeah,
so.
A smart, funny comic. He's one of the tough crowd guys. That,
yeah.
You know, you go back to that show, and there's a lot of good guys on that.
He used to do a show. He had a show on VH1 where it was just him laughing at web clips.
Yeah, web junk.
But he was funny on it.
Yeah, he was very funny.
And like usually those shows, I'm like, kiss off. But his,
exactly.
His, he'd be like, did that monkey just get kicked in the ball? Like, it was funny when he did it. He
yes,
just had a delivery and a style.
By the way,
good.
I'm watching, I don't know if you're watching Animal Planet's Puppies versus Babies. The ultimate showdown in funny viral videos. No, you're not into that? Corey's leaving. That Corey's like, I'm done. I'm out. He's leaving. You haven't seen Puppies versus Babies?
Does that come on?
Puppies, it's on, it's for some reason, it's inexplicably on Saturday nights, but Puppies versus.
You need to get a gig.
No, 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 I DVR it. I DVR
what?
It.
You do what?
It's Heather likes Severin.
You
Heather,
DVR
Heather
it?
Puppies and Babies. It's
oh,
not,
geez.
It's, you know, it's.
Break up.
No,
look,
Puppies.
What I'm saying is.
You haven't
Puppies
seen,
and Babies?
If I had a Puppies versus Babies, I'd show it to you, but I think I've already watched it, so I deleted it, but. Yeah, Puppies versus Babies is on Animal Planet.
I ain't watching that shit.
No, it's funny though.
I think when my mom was
it's,
over,
it's David after the dentist versus, you know, a cat on a Roomba who punches a dog in the face.
You
it's
know
it's
what?
Funny.
We can't possibly look back in the old days in this beautiful media world. Shit had to be at least something to watch. God damn.
Right.
Even as bad as Gilligan Islands was, it was better right. than that shit.
Okay. You're
Come
saying
on, cats
okay.
and babies? Are you
no,
fucking?
You're saying that.
I think my mom was over and we managed. I think Animal Planet got turned on and it was like something about, you know, world's most adorable kittens or some shit.
Yeah.
How can people watch that?
Puppies versus babies. Well, they put funny.
But you watch
funny
the,
baby videos.
You watch the goddamn puppy bowl
against favorite puppy videos or kittens or whatever animal, and then they have a panel that votes on which is the better video. And it's a 16 round elimination tournament.
I can't take it.
And then
you,
the finals
I've had
are going to be. Well, Corey, there's the three pugs that all turn their head in unison.
Okay, I gotta go.
And they're
no,
going
gotta,
to be no, no, no. They made the
I've
finals.
I had it with you.
And the baby that rips when you rip up the paper in front of her, that baby was one in the second show. So then it not beat.
Fucking time.
It's okay. No, wait a minute.
I need a yellow card. Okay. Come on. Seriously, you're watching puppies and babies?
And then there's the cat that can use the toilet and flush it.
Oh.
And there's
this
that.
This is like karaoke. I don't want to hear
and,
about
and
it.
Then
stop it.
There's the baby. Who only loves his mommy when she gives him cookies, and he tells her.
Oh, wow.
And that one's not okay. Listen, let's get out of here.
Oh.
Let's wrap up the show. I want to say thank you to Corey Hall. I want to thank you all for listening.
Oh, Kim, puppies. What was my yeast infection diary? No, no. What kind of gay shit are you watching?
Puppies versus Babies. It's on Animal Planet. I recommend it, and go watch that.
Joel versus Testosterone, the
no,
new show.
No, it's fine.
On TLC.
But the trip was no good, I know.
Trip was great. You're wrong about that. It's a fine movie.
All right, let's
she
get out.
She would have hated Tree of Life more, believe me.
Well, I think I'm going to end up watching that, so.
Watch it on your own.
Maybe I. You know, here's the problem. I don't watch anything on my own. I watch UFC on my own. That's the only thing I can watch on my own. I can watch The Lions on my own. Or watch it with you.
I understand.
But I can't watch
no,
a movie or a television show on my own anymore.
I live with one, all right?
I know, I hear you.
All right, that's enough for our broken, beaten men.
Get out of here. We're done. Later.